You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
Nothing heard. NAWRO clear.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Mobile.
Connected to CMN Network.
Of course, you just headed north instead of going south, I guess.
Let's try it first on Sublimation. How do I stop now?
Negative. Bert is terrible right now. Mayville was better.
All right, let's try back over here then, Mayville.
Yes, sir. Much better on Mayville, at least for now.
Yeah, it's a little foggy out here, and it's cross between on which repeater I can get into. You know, to see which one overlaps which one.
Copy that. I take it your game plan today is to head to points north or maybe northwest.
I'm heading to downtown Flint, replace the power supply, put in a couple new batteries, and then after that, going north. Young man, going north.
Copy that. Might be able to do a Central Michigan test on the DMR again. Try to warm up some of those towers up that way, if you got time. I should be on desk most of the day, at least.
Yeah, we could do it. I mean, I got my HT. I'm going to do it that way because my coworker and I, we keep the communication on GMRS, you know, when we travel all these distances and stuff. So that radio is occupied. But we'll give the HT a shot and see how far I go, see how well it does. KCAKGO.
Copy that. Appreciate you taking care of that matter last night. That's all set, and you are all set. One more down, and only I think I got seven to go, and we'll have the complete roster taken care of. So that'll be nice to get that project done.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm going to try to get 200 finished up this weekend. Every time I try to do something, I get pulled to another direction for some other task. Every moment to myself.
Well, Tom, you are decidedly a busy person. There's no debating that. No worries on that. Hey, do you know that we're looking at the spring set already? So that'd be coming up in May, right? The first Saturday in May. I forget the date, but it looks like Wally's confirmed it. Whatever the first Saturday in May is would be the spring set. So I'm actually looking forward to that again. That last one was pretty close to unreadable. What'd you do? Switch to another repeater? Try something again, or I can wait a little bit till you get down the road. NAWRO over to KC8KJO.
All right, how about this one? KC8KJO.
There you go. You picked up Flint. That's a good one. Let's keep that for a while.
Actually, my radio says Levering, Central Michigan. Let me see how I get on the Flint Tower. Do you want to bring up the dashboard?
Well, I'm looking at the dashboard, and Flint is lighting up, 444.6. Levering is also 444.6. But you're nowhere near Levering, so that's one of those things where it's a double label for the same frequency. So I'm going to say you're decidedly on the Flint Tower.
Okay, that's why. Yeah, it is 444.6 for Flint and Levering, same TL. So that's why I'm coming in. So I'm on the Flint Tower then.
See how long you get to carry this. Well, you're going to be stopping there, right? Is that what you said, Flint? First stop?
Absolutely. Downtown. Literally downtown. Flint. Got to go to the courthouse.
NAWRO. Not sure if we had someone trying to get in there, so try it again. See something about Almont on the dashboard. Maybe that's Dakota. Try it again.
Is there an Almont tower that I don't know about?
No, I think it's a node connected. Who's K8TMR? No, that's Dakota's buddy. So it's probably just a note, maybe? I don't really know. 652-400, whatever that is.
Yeah, that's an all-star note.
NAWRO. Yeah, that must be Phil out there, K8TMR. Phil, I'm sorry, it's just buzzing at this end for some reason. Over to Tom. Tom, send it to Phil again after you.
K8KJO. Yeah, that's all I hear is a buzzing. So, Phil, if you can hear us, you might want to make some adjustments there. Because you're on the system, just you're all buzzed. KCKGO, over to Phil, if he can hear us. Yeah, I don't think it'd be his bat phone or anything. Hey, how's that provisioning working for you on that John set up?
You know, Tom, I tell you, there's a slight learning curve to it, but once I understand how to use it from the website and how you can put the order of your contacts any way you want, You can put the, what do you call it, the bridges up on the main phone. You can slide down the contacts on your sidecar and put them in whatever order you want. They don't go away. They don't get overwritten when John pushes a new, say we got a couple of new people that, which we do, every few weeks we get more people with VoIP extensions. They just go on the next available slot on your sidecar. So now that I know how to use it, and happy to go over it with you one night, it is good to pursue that. There's a little bit of a learning curve to it, but not as much as the phone itself. So if you know the phone, you're gonna pick this up real quick, and it is worth it. Back over to you.
Well, that's the thing is I got my 5 extensions on the phone. One is of course hams over IP. The other one is my VoIP service. So I do have a telephone in it that I pay for. And then the other two are the 3 and 4 is the VHF repeater node, and the other one is the FBI UHF node, and the number 5 is the conference node. So everything's got to go into the personal directory of the sidecar.
NAWRO. Yeah, I copy that. I forgot to turn mine on today. I have it on a switch, so I actually shut it off at night, so it's booting up now. So you can put them in any order you want. Your custom order does not get overwritten by the provisioning once you have it. Once you do it the first time, it doesn't. So in my case, on the phone, I have our conference bridge, then FBI conference bridge, and then the two, access to the repeaters for both the NECA and the FBI. So that takes care of the phone then, because, of course, my extension is on top. And then the sidecar just starts with Dave and goes down just like the roster. But you can put them in any order you want, though, like, you know, the most used. And, of course, people that aren't even part of the RPSC, you add them on if you want. And they don't get overwritten by the provisioning, because it checks it every, like, at 3 a.m. in the morning. You leave your phone on, it'll reboot again. And if there's anyone added, it'll just end up being on your sidecar. When you get it all situated, it is pretty nice, pretty nifty.
Gotcha. All right, I'm going to have to check it out when I get a spare moment.
You're connected to CMN Network.
All right, Tom, I'm going to take a little break here. Going to get a new cup of coffee, maybe a little breakfast. But I'm going to be back in the shack in a few minutes. NAWRO, over to you.
Sounds good. Yeah, I'm just pulling in into downtown here, so I got 30 seconds to get there. All right, I will chat with you later. 73-KCA-KJO.
NAWRO, Richmond, clear for now.
FVH monitoring.
currently connected to CMN Network.
ACAKJO.
Where are you at now, Tom? NAWRO.
I am on I-75 North, 3 miles from Birch Run, so I got to get fuel or I won't make it up to the top gate. And I'm on the, what is it, 2.200 Birch Central Michigan Tower.
Copy that. Just scroll down on the dashboard while you were talking and confirm. I see you're on Birch. Good signal, by the way. Job one complete, not a problem.
That was easy replacing the power supply, and they were like, oh, wait, you know, figured out why it blew. So, make sure that if that doesn't happen again. And then, of course, you know, everything is tampered, so the alarm was going off.
Copy that. Next time you are in my shack, you got to check out the Astron linear power supply I got. This thing is sweet. I probably went overkill. It's a little expensive, but it's quiet. It doesn't buzz. It's got the meters on it, analog meters, and it does look nice, and it is working fine.
What is it, a 30 or a 50 amp?
Now, see, that's where I may have made a little bit of an error. I just got the 20 amp. But then again, yeah, we were talking about this. You were helping me look at the meter readings. You know, four radios are on it, but then again, you can only transmit on one radio. So what am I looking at? 5 amps right now. Of course, it's 13.8 or so volts. Yeah, I think it'll do for now. I don't see why I would need anything. If I had to do it over again, maybe I would get the 30, but I think there was a price jump for that, though.
Yeah, the 20 is just fine. That's all I have. There's a 20, and I put it on the amp meter so I can see the draw. And when I'm on full 50 watts, I'm pulling about 10 amps, you know, but I only got one radio on it. And, I mean, you can have multiple radios on the power supply. I mean, I have multiple door strikes and everything else like that, but it sounds like you're going to unlock all the doors you're going to transmit on all the radios at one time.
Yeah, that was my thought process, is that, you know, I think it's sufficient. And then the reason really was that old pyramid I had from the 90s. It's still working, but I don't know, it's starting to buzz now. It used to just buzz periodically, but now it's buzzing all the time. And I'm thinking, you know, if I'm in the middle of a Skywarn thing and if I end up doing that Micon thing and I lose that power supply, I don't have a backup. So now I have a backup. I've got the pyramid available as a backup, and it would only take me, you know, a minute to do a swap if I really had to.
Exactly. All right, got to jump out. I am going to fill up my tank. KCKGO.
Copy. NHWRO.
Connected to CMN Network.
NAWRO, on the road again?
Absolutely. Was 163 miles and 2 hours and 20 minutes from Petoskey, and I'm 9 miles south of Bay City on the Burton Tower.
Signal's still good. Hey, Tom, the boss is on Statewide 1. I'm going to take a break, and I'll get back with you. Or if you want to switch over there, if you got it, NAWRO.
Yeah, I'll try to bring off my HT and see if I can hit it from there. All right. Talk to you soon. 73 KUCA KGO.
You're connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
K8RUH from WAFU. Are you listening over here, Anthony?
I haven't heard him. Are you still on the west side?
Yes, I am. I'm just left the convention center. I don't know if you've been in Muskegon, but there's a stretch of Business 31 you got to run out of downtown before you pick up 96. I'm just coming up to that where I'll hop on the freeway here just in Muskegon. And I was talking over on DMR to Anthony, and he didn't reply back to me. I don't know if it was him or me. Probably me. My radio's not been working the best on this trip. But I wondered if he was listening here or if he could switch over here. So I did tell him to switch over, so we'll see if he made it back. But anyhow, yes, just getting underway. W8RUH.
K8RUH, I am over here.
All right, sounds good. Are you using the DB switch, or how are you getting in there, Sean?
Yeah, I found DB switch to be increasingly unreliable. I don't know why. And I usually just use ground wire. Go into my VoIP connection. That's what I'm using right now. Yeah, I got to do the star 99 pound thing, but you know, so I don't get the benefit of the push to talk like with DB switch. But it always works. Anthony,
I am pulling up to my destination to pick up lunch. So I will catch up with you gentlemen later. And if you guys are still on the radio when I come out of Coney Island, I will call back out. K8RUH.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I could try to talk to you on DMR. Then I just got my handheld with me in the car. I don't know if there's anything I could hit where I'm at right now.
All right, I just, everybody's using the DMR, but like I said, it was kind of spotty all the way out here. It was like, you know, I could work it, and Wally could work it, but I couldn't. There was a couple of little brief periods where we could both work it, but it was more frustrating than it was productive, so it's still not going to convince me the best way to travel is just crack out your DB switch or your node or your... Probably the best way is just grab your node, connect it up to a system, and drive. But that's sacrilege.
Yeah, I know what you mean. So was it a good conference? I assume you saw Deb there. I'm just heading to work right now. I don't know if she's going to be there this afternoon or not.
Not sure if anybody else jumped in there. There's been activity on two radios, so it's been, and I'm watching traffic, so. But, yeah, Deb was there, and the other guy from the office, and the Kenwood rep, and the Unication dude, they were all there. And we talked a while, but I think they all packed up and left on Wednesday, so they usually stay through the afternoon session on Wednesday, then they pack up and leave. Thursday is just kind of a quick, you know, bam, bam, closing remarks, and out the door you go. So usually the vendors are long gone, long before that. I don't ever remember there being a vendor past Wednesday. So, but I did, yes, I did see her, did get a chance to talk to everybody, so that was good.
Okay,
sounds
good.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm actually kind of surprised that she didn't ask me if I wanted to go. I'm assuming it probably costs money, right?
You know, so there's, you know, they pay for two nights and the conference fees and for, you know, like, there's certain disciplines that have, like, some free ones to give out to a representative from their organization. Like, Central Michigan has a couple that are paid for. You know, we get a few through the through my employer, through UASI. I get mine through the actual board. You know, so, yeah, a lot of us, it's paid for. I do have to put the bill up, like, for Tuesday night. I get my room for, I'm sorry, for Monday night. But if I want to be there for the morning sessions on Tuesday, which are lean more toward the amateur Oxcom world, I got to pay for that room myself. But my work picks that up, but it's not covered by the conference. But, yes, there's a fee for the conference. There's a motel lodging, you know, and stuff like that. So. And I would imagine that, you know, you guys as a vendor would not have that covered. But it looks like they do one night. So they come out, they do one night. Well, I think they were here Monday night. So they just do it that way. So that all Tuesday morning while we're coming in, they're getting set up. But yes, there's a cost involved.
Yep. Figured that's part of the reason. So, by the way, on those couple radios, St. Helens, both batteries are bad, and that's one issue, but so I just want to let you know that.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just look them over as a favor, you know, let me know what they're, you know, what they'll need, and then I'll reach out and figure out, you know, what, if anything, we're going to do about it. Because, you know, they just handed them to me and said, do you do anything with these? And I said, I don't know. So we're just curious if there's anything we can do with them. So it's as much a PR thing as anything.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, I had them on listening to traffic on them. They seem to be... you know, at least receiving the kind.
Do you have the necessary stuff to... first, let me check something real quick, though. If I take my phone and hold it over here, can you still hear me good now, right now? I moved the phone way the hell away from me. Now I brought the phone much closer. Is there any difference?
Yeah, actually, it's better. It was sounding a little muffled. This is a little clear. A little lower volume, but clear.
Okay. So I had it here, which is, this is close. This is right up in my face where I'm in danger of getting a distracted driving ticket for being on my phone. This is arm's length, sitting on the seat next to me where I am not in danger of getting a distracted driving ticket. So of this one here, long arm on the other seat, and this one here up in my face, do you notice a difference?
Not really that time. Like I said, if anything, it's a little more muffled when it's closer to you. You're not connected to the audio in the car, the Bluetooth?
W8RCY, I hear no difference.
Hello, Donald. Thank you. No, and that's what I'm trying to determine. It's if it's going to be, it's on Bluetooth, but it should be on my headset. So I just wanted to be sure that I could set the thing down on my lap where I won't draw attention. So obviously I can, but anywho, just one final closing thought on those Kenwoods. Do you have all the necessary stuff, and does that 8800 do the test and align and all that stuff? Because I can do that, I believe, with mine. So if you fine, otherwise I'll just sort of see if I can get him a good bill of health, just sans batteries. And go ahead and answer that just to close out that topic and pass it over to Donald.
Yeah, it's it does read them. I got some errors on one, but I think the battery was low, so I've had them charging since the last time I went. I'm going to run them again with a full battery. So, and we also got some battery eliminators coming that can stabilize it, so they might be here by now. So that's it on that. And I'm just pulling in. So Donald, pass it to you, and then over to Sean, and I'm out. KUPR.
Good afternoon, Phil. Sean, I'm just want to give you a heads up. You're probably not completely out of Muskegon and not to Grand Rapids yet. But from Grand Rapids all the way home, you're going to see rain. And if you're going from Lansing to Flint, that route home, you might catch a storm on that portion of the freeway. I see some yellow going through there between Lansing and Flint, but you'll be seeing rain all the way home, as this storm is traveling east, northeast from Kalamazoo towards Port Huron. So I'm just giving you a breakdown of what's ahead of you.
All righty. I appreciate it. I'm 23 miles out of Grand Rapids. Kind of have to stop here and get gas. But yeah, it's cold and drizzly and rainy. And, well, not cold, it's 43, so it's kind of eh. But nothing bad, just, you know, keep the windshield wipers on and pay attention. So, but I am going to start looking for gas here, because I am hitting about an eighth tank, and it's pretty rustic where I'm at. I'm sure I'll make it to Grand Rapids, but I'll look for the next most convenient place to tank up. Unless I stop and get a Halo Burger in Flint, that'll be the last stop I'll have to make.
Copy that. I'm glad it sounded like everything went well with the conference and everything, and we'll hear more about it when you get home. But I was just happy to check the weather. And I heard you on the radio, and I said, well, I better give you a heads up about the storms that are the yellow zones on the map between Lansing and Flint. So I thought I'd give you a heads up on that. All right. Safe travels the rest of the way home. And like I said, we'll catch up with you either tonight or later on. And have a good trip home. Be safe. Take care. W8RCY.
You're connected to CMN Network.
All righty. Yeah, I'm going to keep this on the whole way. It's the most reliable. So it's, I got my radios on, too, but they're hit and miss. Unless it's the 800 system, that's like a rock, but that's a limited crowd, at least for now. All righty. Catch you in a little bit. I'll be listening. I'll be 8FU.
That is the next flight.
I ain't monkeying with it. I'm just going to get on my node and have 100% clear, clean communications. Good old analog and all-star. N-A-W-R-O, N-A-W-R-O, this is W-8-F-U. Sorry, you were transmitting, Tim, are you listening here? N-A-W-R-O, W-8-F-U. John, you can relay for me. All right. Yeah, just let them know I'm not going to put up with the frustration of this MI5 roaming stuff. You know, I'm sure it could be my radio, whatever, but it's just, it was total frustration on the way out. And I can just do my all-star node, and I'll have perfect rock-solid communications here all the way home. So I'll be here, and I'll listen when the system allows me to listen. Take care. W8FU.
Yeah, Sean, I heard your last transmission. Your last transmission came through saying that you were going to move over here. They heard you.
Yeah, NHWRO, I copy, Sean.
All right, yeah, I just wanted to relay, you know, don't keep throwing it over to me because it's just total frustration. So I'm going to get my radio on the bench, make sure it's nothing on my radio side, but it was just, you know, all the way out here the other day, you know, Wally could hear, but he couldn't transmit. I could hear, but I couldn't transmit. And I think he and I, for the whole trip out here, 3-hour drive, could actually talk for about 2 minutes. So, yeah, so this here works. So, all right, I'll just be here. And like I said, it's not a knock, just, you know, one is definitely infrastructure, and the other one is just cheating with the phone. All right, catch you later. W8FU.
I copy that. NHWRO clear. I'll be monitoring both. Go ahead. I think that's Anthony out there, right?
No, this is Dave. I was just relaying KFA. I was monitoring both.
Copy that. I just got in on the tail end of that, so appreciate it, Dave. NHWRO clear here. Heading back over to Statewide 1.
What's up, Dave-O-Matic?
Not much. Playing with AI. Went down the rabbit hole for the last 70 days or so.
Yeah, you know, AI. Man, we use that term for everything. And I have a feeling that's going to be many categories of AI. And I, you know, and I don't know enough about it. That's why for me it's like, you know, but I'm a late to the party. I wonder if I'm going to be a curmudgeon when it comes to that.
I think it's wise that you're staying out of it for now, because like every week it's something different. So as soon as everybody makes up their mind what to do, then it would be time to learn it. I would just steer clear. use the chat portion of AI and just kind of leave it at that for now.
Right, yeah. I even got to get on that bandwagon. It looks fascinating. One of the guys in my shop, he's a younger guy, of course, you know, so he's more in tune with that. But, you know, I remember we were looking to have a mission statement, I had a draft that I put together. I said, you know, these are some key points, and this is kind of what I was thinking. And then I guess he just went over to, you know, whatever, AI, ChatGPT, whatever it was, and, you know, and worked it through there a couple of times, brought it back, handed it on my desk. He goes, how's this? And I went, that's great. You write that? He goes, no. And I'm like, well, that's a good use of that.
Oh, yeah, I love that stuff. I call it the... something like that, and then it will give you enough, and then you eventually get to a point where you go, yeah, I like that, I like how that's written, because I'm not good at writing stuff myself, like as far as like if I had to, I would take me so long if I didn't have some tools to help me.
The cord, which one I'm going to do maps through the Bluetooth in the car and the headset. So I just got everything situated. I got 800 megahertz. I got DMR and I got this running. So I'm good to go. So now I'm going to settle in, listen a little bit, and try to get Grand Rapids in my rearview mirror. Maybe I'll check back in. But thanks for the relay. I was just getting really frustrated because my radio's roaming and it's. I think there's something wrong. I got to get my radio on the bench and tune it up. So, you know, or something. So, It just hasn't performed really well on the whole DMR roaming year. And somebody told me they thought it sounded a little off, so we'll give it a look when we get back. All right, thanks. After yours, WAFU, rolling east and listening.
Sounds good. Yeah, the whole roaming thing, and I don't think it's anything wrong with the network. I just think it just ping-pongs too much. And if you know where you're at and you know what repeater you want to go on, you're there. But I don't have much experience with this, so I'm just, you know. Around here, it's either Detroit or Mount Clemens. So. All right, I'll talk to you later. KF8N.
Connected to CMN Network.
W8RCY. W8FU.
Good afternoon, Sean. Are you back home yet?
Good afternoon, Rick. I am not. I am at exit 86, White Road, Grand Ledge. So I'm still... I'm still the other side of Lansing, but I think in a couple of miles I'm going to be, 2.5 miles to 69 split off 96 here. So just coming up to the northwest corner of Lansing.
Wonderful day for travel there. But, man, you sound like you're sitting in my driveway over here.
Yep, get yourself a clear note or whatever all-star note you want. Hook it up to your hot spot and go anywhere you want. I remember many a trip to Houston. And aside from there were a couple of spots on the freeway from here to Houston, like the carrier I was with last time I went down there, Verizon, is notoriously sketchy. Between Lima and Dayton, and then there was another spot in the sharecropper farm area of Arkansas that got a little dicey, but for the most part it was rock solid the whole way, and you know, same thing, sounded like I was sitting right in your living room, and you sound like you're right here in the car with me, so there you go.
W-A-R-C-Y. Got you in there, R-C-Y. And, you and Dave got me into, I got a clear note and a zone spot at least there. I used to listen to you on GMRS up in St. Helens talking to your buddies down here in Warren or around the Warren area there. And that hooked me. And then I heard Dave one time in London, England, and he was back there talking to you guys. He's loud and clear. I said, man, I got to get one of those. RCY, go ahead. AEAWOJ.
Sean, did you call me? I was on the phone.
Yeah, I was just, I had a little hydroplane there. I was just curious if the Northern Route 69 is looking any worse than the Southern Route 96. I really don't want to take the Southern Route, but unless it's really worse on the Northern Route, I'll take the Northern Route. But it's a little too late because I have just made the exit to 59, so I'm kind of committed.
Well, I happen to have the radar on, and the city of Lansing is under one big yellow blob right now, so you probably just got past the worst of it. It's traveling east, northeast, north of Flint, Mount Morris area. So it should be behind you. And all you're going to see is rain all the way out to Flint. And as I scan across from Flint down through 75 through Pontiac, you might hit that squall of yellow Pontiac area. And I don't know, probably about an hour from now, maybe. You might even be past it by then. But nope, everything should be behind you and above you if you're heading out 69. And if you were to go to the south, I don't see it any worse. So you would have been good either way. W8RCY.
All right, appreciate it. Well, I just dumped on the 69 official and says now I got 51 miles to stay here straight, an hour 33 minutes to home. So very good. Anyhow, yeah, Rick, so Donald's got a clear node, I got a clear node, you got a clear node, and they're handy, right? You don't need to get a clear node, that's for sure. You can, there's a lot of ways you can do it, but, you know, as a guy who's have built them, you know, from scratch, including my, you know, custom making my own fobs, I don't regret for 1 minute paying the extra money and getting a clear node. The software alone is worth the price paid.
Well, I agree 100% there. And I did want to build one. I got about halfway through putting one together on a Pi-5. But anyway, I wanted to get a clear note first and find out how one is supposed to work. And you're right, the software is just great. And it does so many other, you know, that digital bridge, it does P25 and NXDN and all the other stuff with an analog radio. So I thought, well, I can't do that with one of my Pi-5s. I started buying the parts for it kind of thing, and I couldn't find a radio hat for the Pi there. So I'm just using it as a desktop. RCY, go ahead.
By the way, Rick, hello, good afternoon. Yeah, and I'm on my node right now, and I'm on a 1-watt HT, my Wooks On, Wooks Off radio, as Sean likes to call it. Yeah, I love my clear node. It's the best bit of advice and device that I have. I'm considering maybe getting one that I can make portable and hook it up to, like, my Xfinity hotspots, and take it with me when I travel or stay the weekend up in Chesterfield or travel up north to the Worcester area. But that's probably about a year away. I've got to work on my outdoor antenna. That's the next thing on the bucket list. I'm going to check out. I'll let you and Sean continue on. And the weatherman will be monitoring the weather the rest of the way. Sean, safe travels. Over to you. W8RCY.
All right, Donald. Well, you know, you can use that one you got. You don't need to have a separate one for traveling. You just put it on a battery, or just plug it in the car, fire it up, let it connect up to your telephone hotspot or whatever. So, you know, and then when you get to your place up north, you can have it connect to that Wi-Fi network, and you get out to your girlfriend's, you can have it connect to her Wi-Fi network. So there's a lot you can do, but you do got to get it connected up to your Wi-Fi on your phone, because that'll always be the first place you go, and then you can add networks from there. So, but you can easily use that one you got. You don't have to buy another. So if you ever want to handle with that, we can work on setting that up. And Rick, yeah, you can do everything you can do with the ClearNode, you can do with the one you build yourself. The problem is you're going to have to lay in the DV switch stuff and all that other stuff yourself, and it's a little clunky. Dave and I were monkeying with it a little bit back and forth, he more so than I. The one thing the conclusion we come to is that it's a little cat-based in some respects, so... You know, it can be frustrating, and that's the beauty, is that this guy that, you know, does this ClearNode, he's written a front end for the whole thing and tied it all together, and made it quite convenient to, you know, but all he's doing is, you know, calling up the stuff that you'd be calling up separately or whatnot. So, but, you know, hats off. That's what makes the experience good. But, you know, it's nice because I can just bring up on my phone and I can, you know, very easily navigate somewhere or, you know, find something and, you know, I don't get all boogered up. So, very, very mobile friendly. And, the only thing, if there's one knock, hold on. If there were one knock, it would be the Wi-Fi. On the units with an Ethernet connection, it's not the end of the world. You can jack it into your router, find it on the network, and then set it up for your Wi-Fi. But on the one like my Clear Zero, you can't do that. So he's got this honky thing called Wi-Fi by Light. It barely works, and so it's kind of a real royal pain to get it the very initial first time you get it on the network. And then after that, you're okay. But if you ever, you know, if you ever booger it up, you know, you're going to be trying to find a way to get it on your network, which can be a real problem. And it seems to me, well, I've got a phone call. I'll be back. And it's one of the Chiefs. That's interesting. I'll be back. WFU. All right. Sorry about that. Where were we?
I forgot, actually, but I had to chuckle because you said, I got a phone and I had to laugh. I thought, how many wives has John got?
Yeah, that one was actually coming over on my work phone. So I got my work phone pulling navigation duty because that one I have Bluetooth. This is my work car, and I have that one work Bluetooth. You know, that phone goes to my Bluetooth, so it yells out the navigation stuff to me. And then I can keep my other one free for phone calls, private phone calls, and you know, hotspot and all that good stuff. So, anywho, but, yeah, it was a work-related call, and I am working, so. But I'll tell you what, the road is, the visibility's down, and it's coming down pretty heavy, but I've actually kind of hydroplaned a little bit a few times, so little unsure of my footing at times here.
Yeah, in my opinion, the puddles of water are just as dangerous as the icy spots.
Oh, yeah, they certainly can be. And I don't know. I have to check my tires. I thought they were in good shape. I was just looking at them. So but I'm going to double check because I don't understand how this big semi in front of me just hydroplaned a little. That was kind of scary. I was just getting ready to overtake him. And he either was oversteering or he hydroplaned a little. So that's the big scare here. You know, you don't think it's 43, there's no ice. So that's all it is. Anyhow, I'm in that no man's land between Flint and Lansing now. Tells me I got an hour and 20 minutes to home. It's all good. I wonder if I should go see FF and say hi. I always say that, but I don't want to add the extra time to my trip.
Excuse me, seemed like every time I headed north, I was in a big hurry. I didn't even want to stop for gas, guys. But whenever I was headed back home, I was looking for any excuse to stop anywhere. KKWOJ.
There's this place in Lansing that KJO turned me on to, the peanut shop. And, you know, and it's not like I got to go or anything like that. But, you know, I do like to, if I get out there frequently and, you know, I like to stop in there and get some stuff, and I thought today I would, because on the way out, I was too late. They were closed, and on the way back, so I had, like, at the time, I think I had an hour and 40 minutes home, and when I added in the stop for the peanut shop, it took it up to 2 hours, and I'm like, oh, that adds 20 minutes, not including the amount of time I'm in the peanut shop, and I'm like, yeah, skip that. So as much as I'd like to stop, I don't want to add the time, so I got an hour and 20 minutes to go, and I'm going to stick to it here.
Yeah, I remember hearing you guys talk about that peanut place a couple weeks back there. So just out of curiosity, since you were up north, did you see any pasty places?
Oh, no, I was in Muskegon, so I was west. a little north, but mostly west. And I don't think I made past the country on this trip.
Yeah, you're right. There's none of that over there. So how was the, what was the convention or whatever there? Did you have a whole lot of fun there?
Well, this, you know, I was explaining it to, we had the director was there with me and the deputy director. We were all there, and it was the deputy director's first time and second time for the director, and he came last year as well. So he kind of knew what to expect. And they've been to a billion conferences on the emergency management side of the house. But, you know, like I told him, I says, you know, they got these seminars. You know, the first day is just, you know, we do work group reports on all the stuff we work on throughout the year. You know, we have a bunch of work groups and we give our reports on those. And it's a range of subjects and topics that are of interest to the radio community. And then, and that's pretty much the bulk of Tuesday, which is a half day in the afternoon. Wednesdays, they have all the, you know, the presentations and all that stuff. It's kind of divided. There's stuff that's like AUXCOM related, which, you know, is the ham radio side of the house, kind of, sort of. Although AUXCOM is a much broader umbrella than just ham radio, but still, that stuff, you know, is, they break those sessions out in there because they've combined two conferences some years ago. And then there's the public safety side, and, you know, you get some, you know, I like to go to the AUXCOM stuff. It's interesting, and sometimes, you know, it's just a bunch of dog and pony show from, you know, big providers like Verizon and AT&T FirstNet, and those can be kind of a role sometimes. But, you know, there's a couple, two, three, or, you know, that, you know, I'm really glad I saw the presentation. They had one on encryption that I thought was pretty good, got some good info out of it. They had another one about the whole big ice storm last year and the problems they faced. That was interesting, although they wish they had more pictures. They ended up having pictures. Hold on a sec. So, you know, like you said, you know, if you find one or two good presentations, you know, in the whole thing, you're doing great. But the real win there is that everybody I work with every day from all different parts of the state and the region and all that stuff, we're all together there. We're having lunch, we're having breakfast, we're full BSing amongst the vendors out in the hallway, you know, in the evening, we're having a beer in the lounge or something like that. And I'll tell you what, just like last year, I got two jobs pretty much, you know, things that didn't have a projected path. I kind of got those, you know, worked out all over, just kind of like, you know, hey, while we're here, you know, so, it's all that face-to-face, you know, mingling stuff and swapping cards and talking, and, you know, that's the best part right there.
Well, that does sound like kind of interesting and actually kind of fun there. I kind of enjoy it. It's different than a conference, but I enjoy sometimes heading out on the road, different parts of the country, doing installing tooling into, like, GM plants and stuff like that. And you'd have a big plant, they'd be overworking or reworking the whole plant for like the U-Van or something like that. And so you end up meeting, like you said, other contractors from all over the country kind of thing. You get to know a bunch of people, and other people start offering you jobs. And, you know, and then you don't have to work. Of course, we were working on a job like that. We'd work sometimes 16 hours a day, so we didn't have a whole lot of time to fool around. But it was still kind of fun stuff. You learn a lot. Playing with the robots, and it was PLCs, and I enjoyed the heck out of it anyway.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about. You know, you'd be over there, you'd be, in the lounge, you know, in the motel or hotel after the sessions and all that, or be out in the hallway, you know, on a break or something like that, and somebody that does the same thing as you in another part of the country. You say, yeah, we got this darn one that's giving us fits. And say, you know what? He goes, we had that problem. Here's what we did. You know, you walk out of there, you're going, holy cow, you know, it was better than the reason we were there. You know, because, you know, that guy, you know, he ran into this problem we had. He gave us a solution. So those can be great. And, you know, it's, kind of what happened with me, we had an issue with something that with one of our partners that, you know, people see all the time, but, you know, they're nice, you know, seeing them in person. And we got to get some real progress on a particular project. So, yeah, it's all good. So, Pearl Harbor Memorial Highway. I didn't know that. I am on the Pearl Harbor Memorial Highway. I think I'm in Shiawassee County on 69. Go figure.
KE4ZYQ.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Hey, Joe, got you in there. Good afternoon. And, I used to live opposite 69 in Lapeer there, but usually I'd end up going, west, and then I'd hit 75 and head north kind of thing. But I haven't been a whole lot on the west side of Flint there on 69 when my sister was going to hitchhike over there a few times. She was staying in a girls' dorm with 12 stories of college girls. So, of course, I went to visit her as often as I could. But that's the only time I was on that part of 69. Joe, go ahead and then pass it over to Sean.
Yeah, KE4ZYQ. Well, Sean, please do me a favor and don't discount what I'm about to say briefly to interject. I know you don't do what you do for accolades, pat on the backs, or praises and all that, but I personally feel compelled to say thank you for all you do, for all that you affect in a good way for the safeguard and communications of whether it be ham radio, the state, the counties. Whatever you do, I don't understand it all, but I heard a little bit just now. Thank you for all you do. So just accept it. Don't try to shun it or put it down, but just please accept my gratefulness and thankfulness for all you do, because that's what life's about. If we don't start doing that for each other, and it's not that you need a pat on the back or look for it, but if we don't start appreciating people, things get dropped to the wayside, and all you hear is bad, and all you see is bad, and all you hear is bad. So please accept it, and know I appreciate it, no matter how little I understand of your job and what you do. But what I do understand, I'm sure it's a lot more than that. So thank you. Over to you, Sean, and I'll just listen out. KE4ZYQ. And hi, Rick.
All right, Joe, then what I'll do is when I leave, and everything's my fault, because they do that, and the last guy to leave, and I become persona non grata, I can rest on that. I can say, well, there was a time. I did, kind of. Anyhow, boy, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you heard me say, Rick, a little hydroplaning, and I'm going to have to check my tires when I get back, check the tread depth or whatever, because got me a little pussy-footed here, so I'll just be careful. W8FU.
W8RCY.
Got you there. And that's good, actually, Sean. Never hurts to be a little over cautious there. And but I know what you mean. You know, they got tires that are kind of grooved, I guess, extra deep and wide grooves for that kind of thing. But it's hard to find a tire that's good for hydroplaning, for mud, for snow, for ice, all in the same tire. You know what I mean? So it seems like we're changing tires two or three times a year. KEAWOJ, go ahead.
W8RCY. I don't drive much, as Sean knows, and I rent a vehicle every so often. And I, the last couple of years, I've had Explorers by Ford, and of course they're all-wheel drive. And I've noticed that since they redid 696 from 94 over to Dequindre, not so much during a rainstorm, but after a rainstorm, it's quite slick. And I remember when they rebuilt the freeway, before they opened it, they put a coating on the freeway. And in the couple of years that it's since been, I've noticed that when it rains, it gets really slick. And if you have cruise control on,
that gets even more squirrely. And I even talked to the guys at Enterprise about it. It was surprising because I've never really lost control, but it's enough to grab your attention. And I believe they put that same coating on sections of 69 a few years back as well. That would make the vehicle feel squirrely, regardless of your tires. Because my rental vehicles, of course, are new. And it's just one of those things you might want to look at. It may not be your vehicle. It could be just this new stuff that they're putting on these freeways. And it's probably on the new section of 696 that they're currently working on now over here in Oakland County. That's just my POV on it. Sean, over to you. And Joe, I heard you out there. Good afternoon. W8RCY.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird. Last time I was this same vehicle, I was going up to Traverse City, and but it was snow and ice, and I noticed this thing was pretty poor, but the tires were not in the best of condition, and the conditions were really bad. And I remember getting back saying, "Get me new tires on this thing," but I don't know. I think my tires are in good shape, so maybe it has something to do with the road. Who knows? Hey, and change topics. Speaking of the new 696, I get to thinking about those tunnels, that really are caps, so that there's a green space, over the freeway in several spots, basically put in there for the Jewish community to so they could walk the temple. Is what I understand the case. But did you see the proposal they got in Detroit where they want to cover I-75 where it runs, there by the sports district? And that's a pretty cool idea. I wonder how much of a, crazy job that's going to be. But they're talking about covering up I-75 from, the lodge to, to where it turns north. And make it a green space, walkable, connecting midtown to downtown and all that stuff. And that's all booming right now, so it'd be a good move. So just toss that out there for the hell of it. W8FU, Rick, I think Joe just was one and done, so over to you, Rick.
Well, I'll jump back in brief if Rick don't mind, KE4ZYQ.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I have to say hello to Donald since he said hello to me. I'd be rude not to say hi back. And talking about tires, you guys are cracking me up talking about roads and tires because I'm looking at getting all four new ones. The ones I got have been on there quite a while. Don't remember how many miles. I think my car tripometer tells me how many miles on those new tires. I reset it to zero originally when I got them. But I'm looking at some Michelin, 18-inch Michelin all season. And the price I got didn't seem too bad. I think it was, $8-something? $8.96. All, tax and all, mounting balance, everything. Does that sound good? Over to you, Rick.
18-inch, Mario. What are you driving, a semi? And, John, I don't know about the road proposals there. I don't get out much, and I try to stay mostly north if I can instead of south. But I'd be worried about the putting the tunnels in there and the heavy downpours and stuff, things flooding again. Talk about hydroplaning. let's see, where does it go now? Donald, I think.
Yeah, I'm familiar with the Greenfield and I believe Southfield overpasses there on 696 with that green space and all the work they did there. Plus, when they demolished them, they were going to improve the drainage so in the wintertime you don't have the ice that breaks off and hits cars as they go underneath it during the wintertime. As far as what's going on I-75 downtown, the original proposal was to close 375 on southbound, north and southbound 75, where you would leave the Chrysler Freeway and get on what I guess they call the Fisher's Freeway, the 75, just before you get into the heart of downtown, and 375 loops up onto Jefferson, right in front of the Rensen, U of D, Mercy College campus there at St. Antoine and Jefferson. They're going to close all that off and make it like you were saying about 696 and Greenfield area in order to merge those two parts of the city, because for years you'd have to go like up to Mack Avenue or something. I think there's a couple of small crossovers at Lafayette, because I used to work in the area of Shane, Lafayette, and Jefferson area out of high school 50 years ago. But the fact of the matter is that's the area that they're targeting to make the changes on and close that off. But I have not heard anything over towards the lodge. If there is, that's news to me. Sean, over to you.
Okay, first off, yeah, Joe, that seems to be in keeping with what I've seen for tire prices. You know, a decent tire is a couple of $100, so, you know, four of them is going to be $800, and then, you know, with other ancillaries, tax, and all that stuff. Yeah, I could see it getting up there into the eights pretty easily. A beautiful hawk just went up in a tree right next to me here on the freeway. So, yeah, that seems in keeping with what I've been looking at, because I'm kind of at a point where I might have to get some on my car at home. And, yeah, I'm familiar with that. That's the old black bottom. So there's, you know, they that stretch of freeway doesn't really need to be there. And last I heard, that was going to get just to remove. They were going to fill it all in and build on it. So there's going to be more than just green space. I think there was going to actually be, you know, kind of recovered to some degree. And, you know, there's a whole story of Black Bottom, and, you know, they just ripped it all out to put in that 375. And I didn't see that being proposed as a cap. The other one is a cap, they call it. And that runs from 375 to the lodge in that stretch that runs along Ford Field, Tiger Stadium, you know, all that stuff. And they're just going to put a cap over the existing part of 75. And then they'll do like they did in Southfield, you know, make it a green space so that there's, you know, foot traffic can make it from, you know, those areas down to downtown. So I heard of that project as well, and I think that's a separate project that has a whole different set of investors or interested parties or whatnot, however that works. Where am I at here? Exit 123 Saginaw, 13. Says I'm 11 miles off of 75. Hoo-hoo, that's almost home. Rick?
I'll jump back in to KE4ZYQ. Sean, if you are looking at tires, I don't know about you, but I've been happy with Michelin, if it's SUV, truck, whatever, car. And Rick, the size of mine are for SUV. It's not a truck or a big vehicle, but it is a SUV, so I think that's why they rated it for that wheel. But they don't have problems with keeping the air, keeping inflation, no road noise a lot like some. I had Goodyear once years ago on a car, and the sidewalls went bad, and it was inflated properly. They had bad sidewalls. I'd never buy the Goodyear tire ever again. Never did since. Over to you, Rick.
Well, Sean, I don't know about you, but every time I was on the way home there and I'd hit Flint, or start coming into Flint, I'd start relaxing a little bit and thinking, well, so far so good, now I just got to get past the crazies for the rest of the drive home. And it was usually the worst part of the drive, but I was closer to home anyway. So, another change of topic there. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, I just got a new battery for the car, and apparently it's dead already, and I'm freaking out because I remember... I used to buy a battery, you know, to replace a battery in a car. It would not last the car. The car would fall apart and rust and need to be completely rebuilt before the battery went bad. So kind of wondering what kind of battery you guys use or had good luck with, because I don't want to start I don't want to be replacing them every other year.
W8RCY. I think I'm up. Okay, I'll take it. Oh, geez, I haven't owned a car in the last 20 years because my last two jobs, I had company-supported cars when I worked for Honda, and then I got a company-paid-for car through my work with Verizon. And when I retired, I got rid of all the cars, and now, because of my disabilities, I occasionally will rent a car, as Sean knows. But, yeah, I still have my driver's license and everything else. So car maintenance for me, as far as tires, batteries, and everything else, I'm a little bit behind the times on it. As far as tires and my work in racing, I know Michelin's a very good tire. They can produce a racing tire that'll go through four stints of refueling on a race car and not have to swap out the tires like you see in NASCAR every time you put gas in the car, change the tires. They use Goodyear. Michelins are used in sports car racing, and like I said, they can do four stints on a set of tires before they have to be changed. And IndyCar uses Firestone, and I was always leery of Firestone since the, I can't remember the years, I think it was the late 80s or early 90s when they had the Ford Explorer tire issue with Firestone, and they used to call Explorers Exploders because of the tire issue. People were unfortunately killed. So, but Joe getting Michelin's, I mean, that would be the tire to get now. And of the three tire manufacturers I mentioned, Michelin, Firestone, and Goodyear would probably be the order based on my knowledge of tires used in racing. Batteries, forget it. I couldn't even tell you the brands of batteries out there today. So that's my knowledge. Sean, over to you, sir.
Yeah, I have no brand loyalty, and quite honestly, Rick, I haven't had to battery up a car or anything of that magnitude in years. I've leased, and generally I'm turning them in before they ever have a battery issue. This car may be the exception. I did buy this one, but it's still so new that I'm nowhere near considering a battery. So I'll let you know when I get there. I'll probably just have to do some research. I can't even say that. Well, way back in the day, I used to like Die Hard, you know, or something, but I don't even know what I would do now. I'd have to research it. And that's tires as well, getting back to tires. I have not had to put a set of tires on a keeper, and I say that specifically for a reason. I haven't had to put a set of tires on a keeper in a very, very long time, because, again, I lease. Now, I have had to go buy some, like, takeoffs. I go like this place around the corner from me. They get a lot of people with, they drive straight into the dealer after just driving a couple of thousand miles, and they get, you know, the tires and the wheels they really want. Well, they get them, they pull those, and they throw them up there, and if they got a set, and like, if I got to do a lease turn in, and I'm not gonna make the tread depth on the lease turn in. You know, usually they can put you into some used ones that will pass the lease inspection. Because if you let them do it, you know, your tires are going to be $500 a piece, and, you know, it's crazy. So I have bought those. So those don't count, because I'll just take whatever the hell they got that fits just to turn the car in and not get knocked on the tread depth. Again, same thing. When I'm ready to buy, and I think I'm getting close on my Escape, I'm probably going to, you know, have to do some research on it. You know, I know all these brands we're talking about, but I got no frame of reference. I got nothing I can say, oh, yeah, those are great, because I got a work vehicle, and all the maintenance and all that stuff's done through work, and then I've been leasing privately, so I was turning the cars in before I had to do any of this work. I think Joe's in there still. I didn't hear him check out on the last one, so I'm going to throw it to Joe before it goes to Rick. And then we got our rotation established. W8FU.
Yeah, KE4ZIQ. Well, Rick, I'm going to make an effort today, soon here. I didn't want to walk away from the radio,
to check my battery, because I just got one put in about 2 years, maybe three at the most, 2.5 years ago maybe, and I went to Bell Tire, because they do sell batteries and install them and warranty them for whatever they're worth. And the one I got, knock on wood, so far has been good for the last two and a half years or whatever. And it begins with an E, and it's not Everi. I don't know if it's Everstart or some. I believe it starts with an E, but I've been real pleased with the cranking power. Of course, I put mine on what's called a maintainer trickle charger in the garage. If I don't drive for a week or so, it doesn't sit there draining. So it keeps it at 80% power so it doesn't get weak and drained and bad and go bad early before it's time. So somebody that don't drive a lot like me, maybe you, I don't know, you probably drive more than I do. I'll look at that and let you know tonight or tomorrow. Just remind me. But I will look at it and give you the name for the for what it's worth. Over to you, Rick. K-E-A-W-O-J, K-E-4-Z-Y-Q in the group.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I was starting to look it up, starting to research it on YouTube there. One fella did, he tested 5 batteries for 3 winters in Minnesota. And, doggone it, diehards and all the normal, you know, that I thought were just killer batteries. And apparently diehards been bought and sold and bought and sold and bought and sold by so many companies now. And apparently they don't have a cheap price tag, but they're not too good anymore kind of thing. Apparently, anyway, according to this one guy, this battery called an Odyssey is top of the line. It's supposed to last 6-7 years, but they started about $350-$400. So my car's probably not worth that much, you know. So anyway, I'm looking at an Interstate. Interstate's supposed to be a very good battery. Apparently the plate thickness in the batteries themselves that do the generation there make a big difference. And the Interstate's got a really good plate thickness for a decent price kind of thing, and good warranties and all that. So far I'm kind of leaning that way, but I'll let you know too if anybody's interested. I'm still going to do a whole lot more research before I go pop for another one. K-E-W-O-J, Donald, go ahead.
Yeah, I think in the cars that I own between 1976 and 1995, I never had a battery issue more than I had an alternator or an alternator belt issue. You know, you're thinking, oh, no, the battery's going, but no, the belt goes bad and the battery's not staying charged or the alternator goes bad. So, again, my knowledge of batteries, and you guys were mentioning Die Hard and Interstate. You asked me that question 5 minutes earlier. I probably couldn't even remember the name Die Hard. And that's another thing, too, not to get too far off the subject. Sears, you know, Sears with their Die Hard batteries. Sears with their Craftsman tools. I think you can get Craftsman now, I think, through Harbor Freight or something like that. But all those big brand names from the in my years of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and I owned a car before I had company vehicles or vehicles provided to me, yeah, all that stuff is gone. And I get just a little reminiscent there about that. You hear those names, Die Hard and Interstate, for sure.
Well, I don't even know if you could find a Die Hard anymore. Sears is gone, right? Completely. I mean, not even as a mail order. But, yeah, their tools, I know for sure Ace Hardware picked up Craftsman, and I think maybe somebody else. So they're not gone, and Ace Hardware grabbed up the moniker. But there are other competitors. There's this one, I can't remember their name now, but there's this tool, you know, like for my small electrical hand tools, I like Weeha and Wera, you know, and Nipix for pliers and stuff like that. But there's a company out of Michigan, I'm drawing a blank, it'll come to me, but I've kind of been looking at them for tools lately. They're all supposed to be American made, they're real high quality and all that. My son turned me on to them, and they're really nice stuff, so if I was looking to add a set, I might be looking that way. If the name comes to me, I'll remember it. And then on the battery brands, Interstate, yes, I remember, though. In fact, I think I was buying Interstates, and I'd always heard that those were, you know, you thought that was just, you know, those are the batteries that they get at the garage, you know, or, you know, the motor pool gets Interstates, you know, and so, you know, is that because they're good, or is that just because they work out some sort of contract? But I always heard they were pretty good. So I'll be interested in what you find out on that, Rick. And I might ask my fleet guy. See what my fleet dude does, or what his opinion is, and you know that can be two ways. You know, hold on one second here. Anyhow, you know, your fleet guy could be the best guy to ask in the world because he's got a bunch of cars that are, you know, super highly critical, you know, and he's going to know the best batteries that work. But he could also be the guy that, like, we don't even think about it. They just drive in and say the battery's bad. We just got one, pull one off the shelf, throw it in there. And, you know, and he may be the last guy to ask because he doesn't even think about it. So I'll ask my guy and see if he, you know, has an opinion and, you know, what it's based on. But that won't be until tomorrow at the earliest if I think of it. I know I'm going to be bombarded with stuff when I get to work tomorrow. So I'll try to think of it. I got to get my other radio aligned, too, tomorrow because my radio was acting a little funky on me on the way. 75, I think I'm coming up to the 75, 475 split, whatever that grand blank split is. I recognize it coming north, but coming south, I'm where it's coming back together. So I'm just, hell, I'm getting into the hills between home and Flint. So this, what's hazard reported ahead? Anyhow, so I feel like I'm at home, even though I'm up near Fred. Go ahead, Joe.
Connected to CMN Network.
KE4, ZYQ in the group. Well, I think Donald mentioned Sears due to battery talks. I got to tell you guys, if you don't know and you got time and you want to do something this weekend, Saturday or Sunday, the old Lakeside Mall at Sterling Heights, the old Sears store, they have a knife and gun show sales in the old Sears store, Lakeside Mall, over in Sterling Heights, this Saturday and Sunday. I can't tell you the hours, but that's this Saturday and Sunday if you look it up. That's if you're interested in anything related to knives or guns or whatever accessories. It might be somewhere to go to. You might find something you might need or something you didn't need, but you found out you wanted. So anyhow, I think Rick might relate to some of that ideas about knives and guns and accessories and whatever. So, yeah, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. Over to you, Rick, from KE4ZYQ.
Guns are evil.
Yeah. Yeah, I could always find all kinds of new guns I'd like to have, that kind of thing. And John, you know, it seemed like a couple of centuries ago, I worked as an apprentice electrician for a while, and the favorite tools of most of the guys there back then were Klein, K-L-I-E-N or something like that. And, they made some really nice tools there, but they were a little expensive. I got quite a few of those, but they worked real well. And I appreciate the help on the battery. I'm in no hurry because I don't want to make any saving mistakes this time. My sister says, well, you got AAA insurance, just call them up, tell them your car's dead in the driveway here, and they'll come out and put a new battery in for you and all that. I said, well, what kind of battery and how much cost? And she said, oh, well, I don't know. And I thought, well, from what I understand, it's real picky on what kind of battery you get. So anyway, that's what it's so far I'm leaning toward the Interstate. KEWOJ, Donald, go ahead.
W8RCY. Sean, you're talking about Michigan tool companies. Tekton, T-E-K-T-O-N, is listed here in Michigan as like one of the leading manufacturers here in Michigan. They're based out of Grand Rapids, and they're a family-owned company. I looked it up as this thing was going around. T-E-K-T-O-N, Tecton, Tecton Hand Tools. Tecton.com is the website. But, back in the day, I didn't really do much services on my car. I had a high school buddy that did most of my mechanical work once the warranties on my car expired. But when I was younger, I never kept a car more. I think the longest car I ever kept from single to marriage and family and everything else, I think the longest I ever kept a car was 4 years. You know, pay it off in two, keep it 2 years, and get a new toy. And I've had Camaros, Pontiacs, a Nissan, and several Hondas over the years. So usually I have people handle all that for me. And, yeah, that's where I'm at there. W8RCY, over to Sean.
All right, I'm just leaving a little gap in there in case somebody else wants to join in. So a couple of things. Wally's listening. Have to fumble around with his phone to talk, star 99, all that crap. So he texted me, which, don't you have to fumble around with your phone to text me, Wally? Huh? Anyhow, he wrote DECA, D-E-K-A, and he writes top of the line. And I would trust Wally's opinion on that. I think he works in a lot of garages and a lot of auto places. So he says DECA. I'm assuming that's the battery question he was answering there. Yes, Tecton, that's it. My son got into them. He did, and I did some research. I went to their website. Excellent stuff. That for me, that's my new Craftsman. I used to be a Craftsman guy. You know, you can do Snap-on. Snap-on's fantastic, but Snap-on's kind of changed their business model. Craftsman changed theirs, you know, with the advent of all these cheap Chinese tools, which, again, Stan, I'm kind of floating around. Like I said, I like Weha and I like Wera for my, like, precision or smaller stuff. I think they're top-notch. Those are German companies. I love Nipix for specialty pliers and things like that. They're fantastic. But for my general, like, socket sets and ratchets and all that stuff, I'm a Tecton convert. Like you said, family-owned Michigan company, a lot of American-made, great warranty, great service. Look them up online. If you need a tool set, I'd be looking there quite seriously. Anyhow, so DECA, I guess, is the battery thing based on Wally's text here. And Tecton, you are correct. Thank you for that. Joe, go ahead. W8FU.
Yep. KE4ZYQ. Well, Sean, there. I remember that battery name, DECA. It is a well-known one, well reputation. And I think Donald, talking about years of cars or how long you kept one, the one I have right now was bought brand new in 2004. So I guess I would make it 22 years old. And I'm going to have everyone, if they don't mind, when they go around one more time, try to guess how many miles are on a 22-year-old car bought brand new with 0 miles. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, the good old Snap-on tools. The nice thing I liked about them was they came right to the shops. And they had tools that nobody else seemed to make, and didn't mind putting you on a payment plan, because some of their wrench sets were $800-$900, you know, for a set of wrenches. Offset open ends for a pipe fitting kind of thing. In the tight places there, they'd have a head at one end that was 30 degree and another head at the other that was 60 degree. So it might be tough to do. It'd take you a while, but, you know, you get in, make a little bit of a turn on a nut kind of thing, and then take it out, turn it around to 60 degree, make an old, you know, back and forth. But you can do the job, you know what I mean, without taking stuff apart. They had line wrenches, which were 12-point, like, socket wrench, or box wrenches there, with enough cutouts so you could get them out. And, you know, those, like I said, each set was $800 or $900 a piece kind of thing. So, and they were darn good tools there. But anyway, I'm kind of rambling. Can you go ahead, Donald?
Yeah,
Yeah, I'm looking up this DECA battery thing. I've never even heard of them, and there's not even really a true menu thing to look at unless I'm on the wrong page. But interesting, though, what they have, because they have automotive and heavy-duty trucks, farm, industrial, lawn batteries, wheelchair and scooter batteries. They have a wide, wide assortment of stuff here, so I might have to look at that. Especially like things, you know, I'm surprised that it shows wheelchair and scooter batteries. We do have a lot of people here living on a senior campus that have wheelchairs and scooters. And I know these companies like, his name draws a blank, but the gentleman that lives up out by Great Lakes Crossing that commutes with us, sometimes in the morning, that's what he does. He fixes wheelchairs and scooters for disabled people. And so this company provides batteries for that, too. So it looks like it's a well-diverse, has a lot of diversity in their battery products for sure. So something I might look at for, you know, like I say, the people in my community here. Excuse me. WARCY. I'm going to be checking out. I got a couple of things I got to do here this afternoon. I got to go back down to the office and meet with them on a few things. So I am going to back out for now. We'll catch up with everybody later. Sean, Zach travels the rest of the way, but if you're in that 475 area, you know, can I place a to-go order from Frankenmuth for some chicken and have it delivered? I do tip my DoorDash drivers very well, so I will be sure to make sure you get a good gratuity out of it. Everybody have a good afternoon, and this is W8RCY. Over to you, Sean.
Yeah, I misspoke. I was actually where 75 and Dort 54 come together. I don't know why I said 475 is not my neighborhood, so I get a pass. But no, I'm down by... what did I just pass? Exit 99, so I'm down here by Holly and all that. So I'll be coming in the Clarkston area pretty soon. Says I got 38 minutes to go. So all in all, it's been low visibility, a little slippy, slidey, a little white knuckle, just a little bit, to be a little bit more stressful than a sunny day drive. But all in all, not a bad drive. And we're continuing to plug along here in the hills between here and there. But, yeah, I don't know, DECA. I think what you're finding there is you're at, like, the big corporate webpage. You'd probably get more information, like, from a reseller page. Like, you know, I don't know if those are sold through, you know, Napa or somebody like that. You know, maybe you find more information, but... I will, when Wally gets around, we'll hit him up. We'll ask him, what say you, is that what you were talking about? But, it's weird. I found two or three people, they got their emergency flashers going, and they're running, you know, under the speed limit. Everybody else is doing the speed limit, so, I mean, it's just rain. You know, visibility's kind of low, but you got some people acting like it's Armageddon. He says, you're causing more trouble than, you know, than it's worth, you know, with the flash. And then the guy with the flash was running 10 under, you know, he picks the middle lane of three lanes. Get to the right, you silly guy. Anyhow, I digress. I'm going to stop complaining. Joe? Oh, wait, I'm going to adjust the mileage. 21,000. Joe?
K4ZYQ. Well, those guys driving like that, Sean, they're people that don't trust themselves because they don't know how to drive on that type of weather street. And not to be the bearer of bad news, but I looked at the weather map, at least for my area, and the rain isn't going to stop till maybe 6 p.m., after 6 p.m. tonight for today's rain. So it's going to rain all the way through 3, 4, 5, and then 6. Maybe after 6 it might stop, after 60% chance on 6 o'clock. But I have 62,300 some odd miles on it. 62,000. That's not too bad for 22 years and still going. And wasn't it Craftsman tools and maybe those Snap-ons too? If you brought it back and something was broke about a Craftsman tool, regular tool, a steel tool, whatever, they would replace it for free if it wasn't something you did crazy, like, you know, cut it in half or something. But if it actually broke something, a wrench or something broke, a Craftsman tool, they would replace it for free. Over to you, Rick. And 73 to Donald. Over to you, Rick.
Yeah, 73 Donald, and good old Craftsman. I remember being in one shop, and this guy had a three-quarter drive Craftsman ratchet with about an 18-inch handle on it kind of thing, and somebody had taken it apart and lost the screw and put a different kind of screw in there. Anyway, it jumped a gear, and he smashed his hand with it, and he went flinging it out the back door of the shop kind of thing. So... a day or so later, I left it there to see if he was going to pick it up. So a day or so later, I picked it up, took it into Sears, and I says, man, this thing's a piece of junk. You can see that, you know, it was falling apart. The screw disappeared somewhere. It's jumping teeth. They gave me a brand spanking new one. No questions asked kind of thing. Three-quarter drive there. It was pretty nice. So, I started buying all kinds of their tools after that. KEWJ, Sean.
Yep, I use that Craft warranty more than once. And I've never had them question anything. If you go in there and it didn't matter. I brought some in that, you know, we found it in the bottom of a bucket with water in it. It was just a rusty crust bucket. You know, and they'd honor it. They'd give you another one. They didn't seem to care how it happened. They'd give you a new one. The problem I had was that, and this could be just, you know, sure, everything was better back in the day, but it seemed like their tools were made to a different standard. You know, and the old guys were going to go, absolutely, but, you know, probably. It seemed like it to me. Like the engraving was deeper, and they seemed like they were just better materials. They weren't just plated. They were... You know, and so you would break one of those really, really good 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s Craftsman tools, and you'd break it, and they'd gladly replace it. They'd replace it with, you know, the newer ones, which they were going more on a look. If we're going to be replacing these kind of tape, I think we're going to cheapen it up a little. They were built to last forever. That's why they guaranteed them forever back in the day. Then they changed the business model to, we're not going to necessarily build them to that level. You know, but we'll give them a new one anytime they want, you know. So I just think that if you got a really old one, just be careful with it because I don't know that you're going to get, you know, a lot of guys will fish around for that. They'll go to garage sales and estate sales, Matt, and they're looking for those old, you know, you can tell. They're looking for them old school, you know, Craftsman tools. And, you had mentioned the offset wrenches. Yeah, I remember those. Those were real handy. When you needed them, there was nothing better, and those were good. And some, like, ignition wrenches, you know, they were really thin, and you'd small, and you could get in between things, you know, those, and all sorts of cool tools. Proto made some really good small wrenches, you know, that were wonderful. There were a lot of great tool companies. Wally's probably wanting to get in here. Damn it, you know, he's a Snap-on guy for years, and, yep, good stuff. Who's still here? I think Donald jumped, and Joe's still here. So I think it's just Joe, Rick, and I for now. We'll leave some breaks in case. Sashbaugh Road, I'm really home now. Go ahead, Joe.
Yep, K4ZYQ. I think I left a big enough space for a semi to go through that one. But yeah, those Craftsman tools are great. I got some in my toolbox from years ago. And talking about the miles per year on the car I still have, 62,350. That's only about a little under 3,000 a year for each year. And the reason I had low miles per year is because I always worked. I live close to where I worked. And I just worked out that way. You know, work is a big travel for a lot of people, like in Michigan, especially going through Detroit and all the major highways, you know, the interstates and whatever. And I always lived fairly close to where I worked, and that's the major miles. My car has been to Michigan and Tennessee back and forth several times, and from Michigan to Florida, Tennessee to Florida, but those work miles is what puts the day-to-day miles on the car usually. Yeah, I've been on some vacations, but we'll leave a space again. Over to Rick from KE4ZYQ.
Victor Delta.
Back there, Victor Delta, and it seemed like when I was working, I'd spend about 3 hours a day driving. I lived up in Lapeer, and a lot of the shops that we did jobs in were Novi, Detroit, and all over the place, so it was usually an hour and a half each way. But, you know, it is what it is. It pays a whole lot better down here in the city than it is out in the country. There wasn't a whole lot of pipe fitting work out there in the country anyway. Go ahead, Dee Dee.
Love you, Dee Dee. Yeah. On the battery story part, I was listening to you guys on ground wire, but like my visibility is not even a quarter mile, so I really didn't want to fumble around with the phone, Star 99 and everything else, but I finally got close enough to hit the Virgin repeater, so hopefully I'm good. On the battery front, DECA, the only American-made, family-owned battery company that's left. It's not a publicly traded company. It's a privately traded company. They're out of Pennsylvania. They take great pride in their batteries. They do make batteries, some of their batteries for Napa. They do make some of their batteries for O'Reilly's. You can tell by the part number if you Google it enough. But and then you can get them at Tractor Supply with the DECA brand name on them. Nobody makes a better battery. Nobody makes a better warranty. Nobody stands behind their battery any better. And I've met with the family actually about a month ago, 2 months ago, because we go through a lot of batteries in our company. And we're a distributor for them, not for the automotive batteries, but for the commercial batteries. And by far, top of the line. And as far as the tools go, I worked for Snap-on for 20 years. And there's absolutely no reason that the average user should buy Snap-on tools unless he's got an unlimited budget and he is the greatest worker in the world. For a guy that uses them every day, a mechanic, like the guy next door at Sean's office, something like that, hands down, buy it. But, you know, the other thing is there. And then on the Craftsman front, Craftsman's no longer Craftsman. They just sold the name. You can watch all sorts of videos on that. And Craftsman's not Craftsman. Kenmore's not Kenmore. The name was worth more than the product. Sean, go ahead. Hopefully I got all that in. W8BD.
Well, I'm wondering, what do you know about Tepcon? Let me just flip it back to you. Are you familiar with the Michigan family-owned company, Tepcon? Because I'm very impressed with their stuff.
That one I never heard of. That one I'll have to look up. Like I said, when I worked for Tepcon, all I knew was Tepcon. They were really good at shielding you from other companies. You know, good mention.
There, but boy, you went from perfect to marginal on that last one. A couple of syllables came through clear, but that was not good. But I did hear you're not familiar. You'll look them up. But yeah, Tepcon is very impressive. I just wouldn't mind finding out, you know, how impressive. Start talking to some of the mechanics. Anybody actually using them? Let's see. I think it went from me to Joe. I think. Yeah, nothing else to add at this point. Joe.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. Well, guys, on a lighter note, I don't know this answer, but I'll throw it around the horn, and I think Rick knows it. If Rick knows it, Rick, don't spoil it for our other two gentlemen there. So I'll throw this out. how does a CW operator, how does he apologize to somebody if he's kind of hurt their feelings? How does a CW operator apologize in his craft? See, Rick.
Yeah, it seemed like you told me that one, but I don't remember it. And Wally, thank you for the, I'll check on the DECA, and John, both of you, I'll check on the DECA when I get back in the house here. KWJ, let's see, I think, Wally, if you're still there, let's go ahead.
Yeah, I'm fighting rain cells here, and I think that that's what my problem is. I think I'm close enough to the Burton repeater that I should be okay, but like I said, visibility a little better now, maybe a half a mile, but nonetheless, it's lots of water up here. Yeah, you won't get a better battery, and you don't have to spend the big bucks for it. You know, like I said, it's just go in, even O'Reilly, you can make batteries for O'Reilly, and you can tell by the sticker on it who made the battery. Some of the batteries are made by JCI, they're imports. There's another company that makes them, and Interstate has whoever they can make their batteries the cheapest, and DECA won't make batteries for Interstate. Interstate thinks that they're bigger than DECA, and it was kind of funny listening to the reps. You know, kind of like how Sean listens to the Motorola reps, the Kenwood reps, all the other stuff. I get to listen to the, you know, the battery reps, and he was telling us the inside story of batteries. So it has to do with the casing, the size of the plate. The biggest thing I remember him saying is the stability of the plate. How well do they keep the plate from moving around? And that has a lot to do with it. Crazy truck drivers. Go ahead, Sean. WAGD.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Now you're good again, so I don't know if you just were on a weird one, but yeah, I'll have to look into that, but I don't need a battery anytime soon, so. And then when I need one for, the things I do is I need lawn and garden batteries. Every year I screw up and I leave them out there and I got to replace them, but, you know, I got snow chains and snow blades, and what am I going to do? Every time I got to go snowplow, I, you know, got to go put the battery in. I know, keep it on the trickle charger, but yada yada. And I just go buy whatever the heck they got at, you know, wherever. I buy my garden, lawn and garden batteries. But I would have to buy a car one where I would focus a lot more on the brand and all that good stuff. Auburn Hills, University Drive. Hoo-hoo, I'm in a neighborhood. What else was I going to say here? Oh, I can't remember. But, you said the Burton repeater, but, so that, you must be coming into Flint. Is that, when it comes back around you, Wally, let me know where you're at along your path. Like I said, I'm down here now, you know, by the Chrysler headquarters in Auburn Hills, and you know, that's for me, that's the homeward stretch. So Pontiac, so go ahead, Joe. W8FU.
Yeah, KU4ZYQ. Well, nobody took me up on that question, how does the CW operator apologize? But I'll tell you the answer. He uses remorse code. There you go. That's a bad one. I know, dad jokes. That's what they call them now. But hey, a little levity in the world doesn't hurt, right? What do you think, Wally? I think, did Rick sign? If not, it goes to Wally.
I am by the Flint Air Force, Bristol Road. So, and the reason that I was dropping it out is I had it voting, and it was picking whatever had the RSSI. So I'm going to have to lower that a little on this one, too, on the analog site. Digital site, it was perfect. I don't know what to tell you on your joke, Joe. I really don't. So, let's see. Rick, you still there? I interview you.
Copy, ADD.
Yep, still hanging in there. And Sean, I used to drive that stretch every day, and I think they used to refer to it as Tech Alley. A lot of tech shops going in there kind of thing, but that was quite a long time ago. But I think I am going to get on out of here. My my toes and fingers are getting a little chilly there. It's not freezing weather, but it's pretty close to it. Anyway, I appreciate all the info and the advice there. I'm going to definitely look into Deccan when I get in the house. You guys have a good one, and we'll catch you later. And be careful on the rest of your trip. WOJ, I think it now goes to Sean.
All right, Rick, we'll catch you later. And, boy, visibility all of a sudden is as bad as it's been. It's not horrible, but I got 20 minutes to go here, 15 miles. And just going to back it down just a little bit here. And so you'll have to explain when you say voting on analog, so I take it you put a series, you put the M1 repeaters in there and then let it look for the one it hears the best. I'm going to have to tell me about that. I'm guessing that's what happens. I'm not familiar with that functionality. And speaking of jokes, and yeah, I forgot about it by the time it came around to me, the remorse code. But here's one for you, Joe. What invention was more important than the first telephone? I'll ask you if you know the answer to that, pass it back.
Oh, geez. It's probably something simple or funny, and I can't think of it. And I'll give you, I can't give you the answer to that, but the two ways you know you're getting old is, I heard the ones you lose your memory, and I can't remember the other one. So I'll throw it back to Sean and then over to Wally.
All right, well, just you remember, what was more important invention than the first telephone? The answer is the second telephone. Go ahead, Wally.
That's pretty important. Now let's pick the levering repeater. Sean, what you tell us to do is, and I don't know if this is just my brain to radio only, or if Motorola's can do it, I'll look into it, or whatever you're using. You set it for a minimum RSSI signal, and it goes around listening. So I put all of the M1s in one zone, and then I just tell it to vote. And then by voting, it goes through. The only hiccup with the way it votes is it doesn't vote for the best one. It votes for whatever one it can hear based upon the signal strength that you told it to receive. So, and that's the only bad thing about it. So if you start getting kind of scratchy or iffy, then you just tell it to rescan, and it listens to all of them. So that's what I'm doing. I got one zone all M1. I got one zone all M2 for the VHF side of things, and that's how I pick it. So when I'm driving, I don't have to think, you know, I just let it kind of do it, and it gets it close. Now on the Central Michigan system for the 5-1, it works perfect. I mean, it works like unbelievable perfect. I mean, it literally, while I'm talking with Tim on the way up there, it changed channels on the fly while I was talking, just like a cell phone. And the only reason I knew it had changed, because the display changed. Go ahead, Joe. WADD.
Yep, KE4ZYQ. That was a good one there, Sean, that joke. But yeah, that voter system, that sounds kind of complicated where it may or may not pick the best one. But guys, I'm going to go look at my battery for Rick's sake. Just text it to him, the information. If he wants to look into it, that's up to him. But I wish him luck in getting a good battery if he's getting a new one. And mine's been good since I've been using the maintainer on it when I don't drive a lot. But it's good talking with you guys. Thanks for the QSO and the ride along for a little while. Safe travels. And Sean, the reason it's looking nasty now, you got 100% rain now, 80% at 5, and 60% at 6. Right now, between now and 4 o'clock, it's 100% rain, chance of rain in the area. So there you go. So I'll say 7-3 to all, and good talking. Thanks for the QSO and the ride along. Over to you, Sean, from KE4ZYQ.
All righty. Catch everybody later. And I'll be in here for about another 15. I'm sure, Wall, you've got an hour to go, or another 45 anyhow. Probably an hour. But I got about 15 to go. Yeah, visibility's kind of stinky, and I don't trust the grip. I've been, although we're cruising along pretty good. I'm doing like 60 here. 7-3. Joe and Rick. Wally?
It says hour 11. I stopped it from voting because I'm on the levering repeater, wherever that is, but I got lots of bars, so I told it not to vote. But if I start dropping bars, I'll tell it to revote to see where it picks up. So, yeah, Sean, I can show all that stuff to you. It's not rocket science. I mean, just like with the problem you were having with your DMR, it's just a matter of getting the settings kind of close. And, you know, and if you did it every day, or if you're an engineer, you know exactly what the numbers are. But, hey, part of our job with amateur radio is to reverse engineer stuff. Like, how do they do that? So that's what kind of what I did there. So, yeah, hey, Joe, if you're still listening, the other thing you can do, you know, just because your battery says Everlast or something of that nature, look up the model numbers, and you could be able to tell who made that battery. Because there's no such thing as an Everlast battery company. Somebody else made that. And, you know, and then it could have been made by China. You don't know. So that has everything to do with it. So.
On the battery, KE4ZYQ, Claire.
Well, tell me it wasn't my note or something. Did you hear that, Joe? Did you hear that howling noise?
Yep, QSL that, and I changed off frequency to see if it was by radio or something, and it wasn't. So whatever on frequency was doing it, I have no idea. But I was listening to KE4ZYQ.
All right, well, keep an eye on that. Just the three of us here. I don't know if it was you or not, Wall. You could have been some third party. But there was you were talking, and all of a sudden there was just a howling noise, kind of, sort of. Oh, anyhow, yeah, visibility is quite poor down here. I'm really in the neighborhood now. I'm down by Oakland Mall, and my exit's coming up here in a couple of 3 miles. Well, either 2 or 4, depending on which exit I decide to take. But how's the visibility and everything up there? It was not bad as I went through there earlier.
Right now, probably a little less than a half a mile. I mean, it's still moving along at posted speeds, but a little bit less than a half mile a second. I gotta get by this truck. He's driving me crazy. I'll be right back.
Who is your daddy, and what does he do?
Who's your daddy?
I said, who's your daddy? I alerted the authorities as you were driving by.
Every time I say I should go visit, and I look at the clock, and I think about how tired I am, and how I just want to get home, and every time it's like, hi, bye.
Yeah, but that would mean I need to get clothing on. And, well, you know.
It was the clothing optional. It would have been.
Well, so did you at least stay for the whole thing?
I did. The very last presentation was like, I had no interest in that, so I went and got my room all cleaned out and car loaded up, checked out, got myself a coffee from the Starbucks and all that, and then wandered into the last thing. Holy crap, I should have got off at 14 Mile. Bumper to bumper, south of 14th. So now I got to go all the way down the 12 Mile Road, bumper to bumper. God darn it. I avoided this the entire trip. Anyhow, yeah, so I kind of like played hooky for the last full session, and then I went in to listen to Brad's closing comments, because who can resist closing comments by Brad?
Well, the last full one was
Jeff and Wally.
Yeah.
Well, there might have been a good session, but there was definitely a full session that was, they had a couple of them that were like more, you know, finding the right people for your, you know, operation, and like, this isn't a pep rally. It's like, you know, stop trying to fill time. I don't mind hearing about events and things that took place or missions or you know, anything like that, but I really didn't come here for a pep talk on management styles.
But I have to ask, did you find a unified voice for your PIO statements?
Believe it or not, that had more relative value than a couple others. I was in for some of that, and I thought, oh, this is kind of interesting. They went over the U of M debacle, you know, and how, you know, bad information got out and caused some trouble. So that was actually good. It was well done, despite some of the other ones. So honestly, that one was, you know, I did miss a lot of that, but probably would have not minded seeing that one. You back, Wally?
Now, did you see the Frozen? You know, did you watch Frozen?
Yeah, but now
I'm
just
double
there.
I was
I'm not
if
sure
Wally was
I'm
back
either.
Yet. See the Frozen?
Like Frozen, Freddy?
I am perplexed. What does that mean?
Well, there was a mix. The Frozen. You know, the Frozen one. It would have been the last real one to see the day at 10 a.m.
Videos and slideshows and stuff like that, but it was a lot of the usual suspects, you know, droning on about what happened. It was good information, and then they got into pictures a little bit later on, and then, you know, and that was one where I actually had a question, so I was wondering how they handled fuel delivery issues, because that's one of my sources of heartburn. Anyhow, so that was useful. I asked Mike. He says, I want to get in. I want to catch that. He goes, yeah, I've seen it 5 times. I get it.
Oh, because I was going to say, because Randy, I thought it was Randy was putting it on or moderating it or whatever.
Pretty much, yeah. Pretty much. Anyhow, the four of them up there talking, and then my question, Rodney had to come out of the audience and answer mine. One of the guys tried to answer it, but they were focusing on kind of the wrong ass, and Rodney knew what I was concerned with, and he addressed it, but it's also very different. You know, that part of the state is going to have a whole different set of concerns than down here. Wally, how you doing?
Coverage, but I'm
these days I'll put up a real repeater that can have a receiver that works.
Yeah, that one was a little crispy. All right. I am 0.5 miles from home, but I've got to make a stop here just before I get home, grab something for the XYL. So I'm going to dump out here, go inside, and grab something. And I've only got a... So I may or may not jump back in. It may be a while. W8FU.
I'm watching a little highlight video clip of them doing the aerial rescue of that hot air balloon to those people that, you know, went into the top of a 1,000-foot tower. Woo! That's a pucker moment.
Man, my hair got wet.
Currently connected to CMN Network. Connected to CMN Network.
W8DD.
N8WRO. Getting close to home there, Wally?
I am. I'm in beautiful Memphis. I think that's what it's called, right? Tomstown. Whatever, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I like that. Tomtown. That's the name from now on. We'll call it Tomtown. Tomstown. Yeah, you brought the weather with you, man. It's kind of rainy here now, but I'm glad you're getting home there.
Yeah, visibility was kind of shady there for a little bit. Why is this thing telling me to turn left? That's odd. Never had it do that before. Huh. Wonder what that's all about. Hope the guys is not sending me down a traffic jam or accident or something. This is weird. Huh. Watch, I'm going to run into a flooded road or closed road. Now it wants me to turn on Weber Road. So obviously it's wanting me to avoid something. Do you know anything about any kind of road closure up here?
Yeah, just as you're saying that, calling the map up right now, I do not see anything on Google Maps. M19 southbound. Let me zoom in a little bit, but I don't see anything, so not sure why it would do that. Of course, I don't think your system's that reliable compared to how it took you over there on the west side.
Well, I'm using the Google Maps. I hope that's what you're referring to. So, it'd be good. All right. Anything else exciting happen? I did talk to Dave a little bit this afternoon. Maybe 10 minutes, nothing big.
Yeah, we just got off an impromptu meeting, somewhat impromptu meeting on Discord there with Mike, Dave, and John. Relay what you relayed to me, plus some other stuff going on. The Hoyt phone is kind of taken off as far as the provisioning. You'll have to take a look at that, see if you're interested in it. Once you understand, and for you, it's going to be easy, right, how it works being provisioned from the web, and it pushes the next guy that comes on the roster, he just is added to the next blank spot on your sidecar. Once you get the first download done, it works pretty darn good.
Yeah, I got a commercial service on the side of it, too. That would worry me a little bit.
Any WRO. Yeah, Dave had a little trouble with his VoIP number the other night. John's making for line two on that phone. John's making a account for that so that it won't, the provisioning at 3 in the morning will not overwrite that. So once it gets perfected, and, you know, maybe if you want to drag your feet a little bit for a few weeks, that's fine, but John's getting pretty close to having it perfected. It will not overwrite any of your stuff.
Okay, I'll wait for version 2 then. But I'll do it. I just have to wait for version 2.
Yeah, there's a spot. Once he showed me the spot on the website, not the configuring thing on your PC that we do, but on the website, you can go in this one spot and you can rearrange your contacts, slide them up, slide them down on the list, however you'd like. And once he showed me that, I said, yeah, okay, I'm in.
Well, it sounds like fun, and I short keyed again. So if anybody wants in, go ahead and step in. South of, now it's telling me to go to Muttonville Lane. So apparently whatever it was telling me to do was wrong. So next time I'm going to have to pursue that and see why it's telling me that. So coming into your town now, we got Tom's Town and Tim's Town.
Telling John, I got my buddy from high school, Gary, the guy that has the call sign right in front of me, N-A-W-R-N. He'll be joining me at the QTH here for the net tonight, so that'll be fun. Going to get him up and running on basic net protocol there.
Who does the net tonight?
Well, it was supposed to be Dean, but Dean is going to be on duty tonight, so it's gone over to John, and Mike will be back up.
I'll do what I can to do to get there, but I'm sure Marion is going to have other plans, and I'm kind of radioed out.
Perfectly understandable. After this trip you did out there, of course you gave your that bad boy Tate radio of your good workout, I think. That was good.
She did a remarkable job voting on DMR. I got to do a little bit of work getting it to vote better on analog. And I got to adjust. I know what I got to do on the XPRs. I'm almost positive. You know, you and I have talked about that. So the other thing, too, a big plus for my little get-together thing on every other Saturday, there's going to be, I think we're going to get more people because one of the guys that does what Sean does over in another county, he's going to show up as well. So I think we got that. And I also invited the two people that Sean were with. And I think they're going to show up as well.
That's always good. Not sure if you know yet, but what's your plans on Monday morning, this coming Monday morning? We might be having a breakfast there before our meeting in Richmond, if you're available. Totally optional, of course. Don't know the time yet.
Yeah, Dave asked me if I wanted to join them. I told him, I said, dude, that's up to you, but I'll, you know, if it's too many people and it's a crowd, I'll stand down, I'll just come have breakfast with you guys, you know, whatever you want to do. And I just ran a red light. Oh, I'm gonna go to Richmond Jail.
Careful now. I hear the rain coming down out there. All right, well, I got a few things to do before the buddy comes over here. We're probably going to go out, have some dinner, and get back here by 6:30 so I can disconnect and start the net protocols there. Glad you're back in the county, and looking forward to getting a debriefing sometime later about all you learned over there. N-A-W-R-O, after you, sir.
Meet me on 441 for a quickie.
A quickie. W-A-B-B.
N-A-W-R-O, Q-S-Y, 441.
You're connected to CMN Network.
WFU, KPR.
KFA, FQN testing.
Yeah.
KSA, ask you are clear.
CDAGAS.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network.
KFA-ATC.
KFA FQN listening.
I didn't hear all the call signs. It's KFA ATC. Copy.
Roger, it's Kilo Foxtrot 8 Foxtrot 2 back in November. I didn't get your call sign as well. Can you repeat it for me too?
Yeah, it's KFA ATC. Kilo Fox 8, Alpha Tango Charlie.
Alright, Roger. Kilo Fox 8, Alpha Echo Charlie. I believe we haven't talked before. How is your evening going?
It's going pretty good. Just taking it easy after a hard day's work and watching some of the rain come down. I guess it's kind of eased up now. At least we do have some warmer weather. It's not cold and icy out, so this is a good thing. It's slowly getting there.
Yeah, same here. I've never been happy about rain, but I'm pretty happy we got it. Finally, all that snow is gone where I am right now.
All right, I copy that. Yeah, well, we're just watching the news here. They're saying it might hit 70 on Monday. But they didn't say if it was going to rain or anything. But 70, I'll take it. Maybe I can take the motorcycle for a little ride.
Yeah, I've seen that on my phone. It's supposed to be like 69, probably 70. I need to check the weather again, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be clear night skies. Yeah, so it's supposed to be mostly clear that whole day, so that's going to be really nice. Nice break from this bad weather.
It seems that when the weather's warm, nice out, you can do your activity outdoors if you like the outdoors. You can do things outside. You're not stuck in the house when you get home, I guess. So, yeah. Hopefully, it'll level out next 3-4 weeks. Hopefully, the warm weather will stay. But we are in Michigan, so anything's possible. Until we get some more snow, who knows?
Yeah, I think next Saturday, it says we have about a 55% chance of snow. But yeah, it's gonna be pretty warm till Wednesday, and then it's gonna be pretty cold or cold air after that. But yeah, I can't wait to actually be outside and not having to put on a coat, just put on a sweatshirt.
Oh yeah. Things a lot easier when the weather's a little nice outside. I've heard you out there before. I didn't get the name. I've usually listened to the net. And usually I'm working, doing something, so I didn't get a chance to get in there. I usually hear you out there, and I think it's the Monday night net. My name's Tim back here.
Hey, Roger. It's right here near you, too. Like what I said, I don't think we have talked, and then it's nice meeting you. And my name is Wyatt. That's spelled Whiskey Yankee Alpha Tango Dango. Nice to meet you.
All right, nice to meet you. Yeah, maybe I get a chance. I get in on some of those nets. I get home at work. I have the radio on in the background and kind of get busy doing stuff. Then it gets late. Time to go to bed. So I don't get a chance to get on the net much, but I'm usually scanning the pants here. Just watching TV, relaxing.
Well, yeah, that literally sounds pretty relaxed. Yeah, I respect that. That's kind of what I've been doing for not here recently, but those past colder days where the snow was out in school. But I went outside a couple of times, just walking around and doing random stuff. But yeah, back over to you.
I copy that. Well, your radio sounds, your modulation on your radio sounds a lot better from, I guess, the last few times I heard you on the net. I think your volume level was kind of low. I don't know if you got that straightened out. Sounds really good now, so maybe you made some adjustments on your radio.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Well, actually, there's two times. One was using my HP, the Valfing AR-152. And I was getting to the Romeo repeater, and that was pretty quiet, I think. The second time was EchoLink, so that could be another thing. AHAP Joe, he gifted me this radio I'm transmitting on right now. It's a Anytone 778. I'm using it as my base station, and it's mounted right now. My dad and I just mounted it yesterday. It's a Diamond X50 I have mounted on the very top of my house. So that's probably why. And plus, I'm running 25 watts.
Oh, yeah, that's plenty for the 2-meter 440. Yeah, if you get the antenna up there on the roof. I'm just sitting in the living room now on handheld, but I have mine also up on the roof. It's probably 25 feet up. Actually, the weather gets a little bit nicer. I kind of got to straighten it up. You know, wintertime, put a beating on the bracket there. Actually, I'm looking at getting a different antenna. I got a weather got to get right first. But yeah, that radio sounds a lot better, nice and clear.
Yeah, I'm glad my radio is working. Hey, what kind of radio do you use mainly?
Right now, I'm talking on a Bullfang, UV32. I got about, I probably got about four or five radios on the go. So I got quite a few radios here. I got one in the truck, two upstairs, about four handhelds, I don't know. I got too many radios, but I always got something. The radio's a little different, some work better than the others.
Yeah, that's a fact. Yeah, I got three radios as well. Wait, what's the UV32, I believe you said? I would take that, mix it up with a DM32, which is that DMR, bow thing. But I think it's, like, yeah, the bigger version of the UV5R. Oh, yeah, my HTs are the radio out of the GA2S, an Explorer 2RZ1, and, yeah, the Air 152. That's a bow thing. But, yeah, like I said, you can never have too much radios.
Yeah, that's what I forgot to add in. Yeah, it is a DMR radio. That's why I bought it. Just kind of getting into the DMR, kind of new at it. It took me quite a while to get it programmed. I met some other gentlemen on a DMR frequency that I had programmed it. I wasn't sure if I was getting out, but they come back to me. Sent me to a website to download some code, so that was pretty good. I saved a whole lot of headaches. So I downloaded that to the radio. Now, my thing is, I got to learn all the functions on all the radios, on this radio anyway, since it's a new radio. So that's why I'm just sitting here playing with some of the functions, scan mode. I haven't got the scan mode to work on it yet, so still messing around with it.
Yeah, Roger, yeah, I've been wanting to get into DMR, because now I'm being honest with everybody, I know basically, you can never know all, everything about a certain mode, but I know, a lot about analog, and I'm kind of ready to go to DMR. It seems a bit of a learning curve, though, because, of all the different talk groups and stuff, but, I'm willing to take up that challenge, and, yeah, I kind of want to learn what it's about, and, I think it's MI2, for the WHCMN. I think that's, yeah, the MI2 network, that's the DMR. I want to get into one of those, and research some color codes. I don't know what those are, but I've heard of them and stuff.
Oh, yeah, well, I got to find, contact out there, somebody can... I know there's some other websites with local guys. They have code plugs in there depending what radio you have. And, you can download the codes. That'll save you all the rush. Download them, and it's just a matter of how to activate them on your radio, different zones, that kind of stuff. Are you this far? You're on here, so you should be able to do the DMR, no problem. You sound like a very intelligent young man.
Yeah, I'm actually connected to the Romeo repeater right now. I want to try doing Warren. That's what most of the guys use, like Cujo. But I think I always hear him on Warren. But I really want to try to get a DMR. Maybe get like that DM32 from Baofeng. I'm actually planning with this Anytone, using it for two purposes, my base station and an emergency kit. I'm just looking for a solar panel. I have an idea of one and a battery for it. But yeah.
That sounds like you have a plan. I think you would probably like this Bullfang, the DMR32. There's a lot of options on there, and it does quite a bit. I still got it. Comes with not a bad price. I think it was like $65, and comes with three different antennas, carry case, microphone, earpiece. get everything with it. So it's just you can't beat it for the price.
Yeah, I know you can't. That's what I love about Mowgang. At the most, the radios are like $70. I think that's what it's, or $60. It's like what my radio and the DM32 is. And yeah, they come with all that, and they're good little radios. They're reliable. There are some issues with them, but overall, yeah, they're a really good brand. And yeah, I've heard, especially how cheap their radios are, like what you're saying, like the UV5R, that thing's like, what, $17 on Amazon? And with a good antenna, you could reach out in a good spot, like 30 plus miles, which is insane. But yeah, I love the brand Mowgang, and they have so many different types of radios and stuff. You can never, like, have all of them.
No, you could never have them all, but you sure can collect a whole lot of them over time. Well, I guess it's all about having fun, right? That's what it's all about. Talking leisurely to people. It's a good hobby to get into.
Yeah, it is. I think Mowgang is most of the reason why I got into ham radio. Well, part of it, like that's how I found out what ham radio was that Mowgang radio. Yeah, it's a really fun hobby, and I believe I was talking to somebody about it. You can never learn everything about ham radio. Like, you can never learn anything, or everything about it.
Oh, yeah, no matter what, you see, yeah, for the ham radio, seems like it's endless. And if you move up to the general or the next one up after that, I guess, I don't know. It can get quite expensive, but I guess it costs money to have some fun, right?
Yeah, oh, there you go, sorry. I was looking to get into microwave radio, but again, I've only had my license for about a month now, so I might need to cool it and focus on, you know, the normal stuff. But I maybe for my birthday, I'm asking for it, a RTL SDR. It's like 500 kilohertz all the way up to 1 gigahertz. I like satellites a lot. I like doing a lot of sat ops. So, I'm asking for it, for the purpose of listening to satellites. And I guess you can say that kind of counts as ham radio because it falls within that frequency range. Sadly, just receive only, but I'm fine with that.
Okay, I see. Okay, I just kind of listen to you and I'll learn even more. There we go. I haven't got that far yet. I've only been on here for maybe about a year, roughly. I just finally got to the DMR part. So let's see how far we get to into it. Do a little more studying. I write for the general maybe soon. I just got to make time. Get the general, and then that'll open you up for a little more, actually a lot more HF frequency.
Yeah, over at the East Coast Reflector, I forgot his call sign, his name is John, he sent me a ARRL, general study book. Problem with me, though, is I can study, it's just my, I cannot focus on the book past, a half an hour. My tech, I could, but I hate going to the ceiling again. Studying to get my generals, because I'm like you, yeah, I want to get access to the rest of those HF bands. I was doing some CW, forgot what I was doing it on, like 40 meters, I think, which is within the band plan for tech, put in some FCA on 10 meters, but yeah, I cannot focus when I'm studying for my generals. It's been about a month now since I got this book, and I've only read through, like, 30 pages of it. That's it.
They got got some apps you can load on. You can load it on your computer or the phone, and they have all the study tests on. You can study for the test. Practice, they have a bunch of practice tests on there. That's how I got this technician. Probably use that for the gender also. It's pretty good. You can just do it over and over and over. Study along and then do the practice test. And once you get up to like 85%, 90%, 95%, you should be ready.
That's exactly what I did last time. I went on ham study and did that test until I got at least an 80 or above. Like a 90 or above. 80 was too easy for me. The math, though, the math I cannot get right. Like, everything else I can get right. I know, like, all the symbols for all the capacitors and resistors and stuff like that and what they do and how they work, but when it comes to the math stuff, like calculating the OHM, I can do a little, like, the basic stuff of that, but the rest I'm not really good at.
We're in the same boat then. I'm not too good at the math, figuring that out, but I studied enough for it to pass to get the license. I guess that's the main thing. You made it this far, you can make it to the next step. No problem at all.
Yeah, that math, I really don't like. I'm glad they got rid of the CW requirements, though, because then I love CW. I want to learn it really bad. I know how to transmit, just not decode it. But I would fail the test if it was studying for CW. But I got to go. My buddy, Jackson, he wants to hop on FRF with me, so, I had a good time talking to you, and maybe I'll catch you on here today or tomorrow, who knows. And you have a good rest of your evening, and 7-3 to you. This is KF8-FQN, clear on your left.
Hi, thanks for the cue, so it was nice talking to you. Maybe we'll talk to you again soon. I hear you're on different frequencies out there, 2 meters. But maybe we'll catch you around a little later. Enjoy your evening. This is KF8-ATC. We're clear for now.
Roger, 7-3 to you, and this is KF8-FQN. Clear.
Kilo Echo 8, start shot beaming into monitoring.
Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Echo 8 Foxtrot Lima Yankee monitoring.
W8FU.
You're connected to CMN Network.
You're on your way back to Muskegon because you forgot your lucky socks. Or you're going out for dinner.
Yeah, look at this toothbrush.
That's right. I left my toothbrush. Running out for dinner. Ryan Grill.
go knock that out. What time is it? 6:44. Still early, but I'm tired. Oh, it's trash night, too. God darn it.
We're still in the Lent season, and I've been meaning for years since the late Professor Don talked about that place and their fish and chips, and I've been by it a few times, and I've just never even gone in there just to drop in and try it, regardless of the season. And but I remember Professor Don always talking about how good it was, and one day I'll get there for sure.
Who else was in there? I like it, and Don and I would go there on Fridays, and the fish, the senior fish is more than enough, and it's a pretty good deal. You get the regular fish, it's too much food, but depending on how hungry I was and whether I wanted leftovers, but, and they got other good stuff. Then they got a few things I don't care for, but in general, I give them a thumbs up. So today I'm getting roast turkey dinner, and the wife's getting, they got Polish there, and she's getting pierogi. Anywho, who else was in there? W8FU.
Oh, just me sticking my two cents in, but, God, it's been years and years and years since I've been to that place. The one thing I miss about moving away from Macomb County is all the choices in food that I don't have anymore. KF8DLX.
W8RCY. I'm one of those as well. I mean, I grew up on the east side of Macomb County in the area of 696 and I-94, city of St. Clair Shores, and there's a lot of stompy grounds that I remember, and a few are still around, but yeah, I've transplanted to about approximately 400 feet across the Dequindre borderline into Oakland County now, and so I'm transplanted from Macomb to Oakland by about 400 feet, and I don't get around much mobility-wise, but I miss a lot of some of the favorite places of my hometown youth, for sure. Sean, and then back to you, the other person.
Yep, we got a lot of good places. Oakland's even better, depending where you're at. Well, I mean, I guess they're both good. And of course, there's a lot of great haunts in Detroit, too. So, more niche places. So, a lot of good eating in Southeast Michigan in general. So, there you go. All right, I'm just pulling up here at the restaurant. I will be able to probably listen out, and then I'll be back in here when I'm shuttling the goods home. W8FU.
W8RCY, we're standing by.
Kilo, SL8, Foxtrot, Lima Yankee, monitoring.
Station on the frequency, all I heard was the word monitoring. The beginning part of your transmission was rather distorted. W8RCY, standing by.
And the Num Num Express is back on the road.
I thought I heard that station that was on earlier in the week that was talking on this frequency and was not giving a call sign. I thought I heard him just now again because they've got a distinctive voice.
Oh, I miss all the fun. Don't know anything about it. Fill me in at some point. Okay, come on. Let's go. There we go. Oh, crap. We've got, here at the 696 in the service drive here. Car's pouring off the exit ramp. Got to, navigate that. Anyhow, all set. Yeah, I'll have to check it out.
I can't remember exactly what repeater they were on, but Fred had the monitor on, and Fred said something to him, and He was only on for a few words a few times, but he has a distinctive voice, kind of like mine, yours, Jack's. You know, when you know the voice, it's like, oh yeah, now who is it? And my spreadsheet's got like 1,160 people's names to choose from, but yeah, I got an idea of who it might be, but you know, so I know for sure that's about it. And I just heard this, and I heard the voice, and I said, So that's why I was calling him out. I said, you know, part of his transmission was distorted, and all I heard clearly was the word monitoring. So, anywho, like you always like to say, I will let you go, let you enjoy a meal with Mrs. Sean, and you have a wonderful evening. Relax, put your feet up, and, you know, we'll catch you in the morning. WARCY.
I wonder if it's the bootlegger up near Holly, the Fred Tractor.
Jeff 81L, comment.
Well,
station did get his call sign. It was Kilo Echo 8 something.
I didn't get
the rest of it. But he did give his call sign at the beginning, but I heard it pretty.
What the hell is
Kilo
on?
Echo 8 something, but.
Weird traffic.
This is KF80, way up 10.
7 o'clock at night. You're at, trying to make the turn north onto the Quinner. Go past your place so you can smell the pierogies. Okay, finally moving.
Okay, somebody doubled over you, and I heard what he had to say. And, sir, thank you for clearing that up. But he did give a valid call sign. Again, on my end, all I heard was a bunch of static, and the only clear word I heard was monitoring. And Sean, okay, yeah, that intersection is the hardest intersection to make any turn off of. Even though it's as simple as a right-hand turn off of the service drive onto DeQuinder, it's been that way forever, and yeah, that exit ramp is scary sometimes because people do blow the yield sign. They don't even think to look at the ramp, and it's a dash for the crisscrossing traffic as you're coming off the ramp and wanting to get to the right. For those who want to continue left and go to the left and continue on the service drive up to the original DeQuinder exit, so I get it. All right, I'm going to clear out W8RCY, and we'll be still listening for a while.
All right, Donald, we'll catch you later. If I don't get back on the radio, probably talk to you in the morning. I plan on going in. I got some things I got to catch up, been away for the week. And if there was another party out there I doubled with, I didn't hear it. So I got about another mile to go here, so I'll be another minute or two. W8FU.
KF8AYL. Yeah, I think I was the party that doubled over you there, Sean. But yeah, the other station, Donald, he heard somebody call monitoring, but he did give a call sign. It was, I didn't hear the whole thing, but it was Kilo Echo 8 something. But I'm KF8AYL Ken, and I'll be monitoring. I'm on Echo Link currently, so probably don't sound too good.
All right, Ken, how you doing? And, it's not as bad as I've heard Echolink, but it's not as good as Direct, but it works. It's working for you. And I'm just, as you probably have been tuned in, I'm just, I just got in off the road from Muskegon. I was out of town and got home, got unpacked, got situated and all that stuff, and then my wife and I decided for a carry-out at Professor Don's, one of his favorite places, so I just went and picked up some pierogies and some other stuff, and just now turning onto my street, so going to pay attention to that and make this my last. Kathy AYL from WAFE.
Yeah, I heard you when you were on Muskegon earlier in the week. I was at home on radio proper at that time, and you didn't sound like yourself. It sounded different, but yeah, I'm up in the UP, currently looking at Lake Superior, so that's why I'm on Echo Link. I was just kind of monitoring. I just pulled it up just to monitor and see what was happening, but enjoy the rest of your evening. Enjoy your vittles. 73 KFA AYL.
Last time I saw Lake Superior was in the late 60s, early 70s, when my sister was going to college at Northern Michigan University. And I was still 7 years away from a driver's license. And I've been meaning to get back up there. And it's on my bucket list because I'll be 70 this year, and if I'm going to do that 8 to 9 hour drive from Metro Detroit back up to Marquette, I got to get myself in shape to do it. Don't know if I can sit in a car that long, but I do 5 hour trips, and I barely, you know, everybody's out of the car, and I'm saying, okay, I'm coming one leg at a time. I got to get it out of the foot box, you know, from behind the wheel and everything else, but. Yeah, I remember the good old days up in Marquette and good old Bunny Bread, the big industrial bread plant up there. All right, sir, pleasure hearing from you up there, and you do have a strong signal for Echo Link for sure. It was a good sounding signal for sure. Again, here the name is Donald, call sign is WA Whiskey 8. Romeo Charlie Yankee, you have a good evening, sir.
All right, Donald. Well, I appreciate the signal report there, but yeah, I'm on the west end of Houghton on Lake Superior here, and in a little town called Red Ridge. So that's going to be my retirement place, but trying to make a living here. But I do go home in Bertrand. I'm usually on off the Burt repeater when I'm down there. Just thought I'd pull up the frequency and see what was going on, and heard you guys calling out. Thought I'd chime in there. But enjoy the rest of your evening, and I am as well, because I'm going to go back up my hill and eat some dinner. 73's KF8AYL.
KFA-DIC. Is that Ken out there?
Well, nobody can mistake Jack. What's going on, Jack? How you doing? KFA-DYL.
I know you don't make a mistake. By me, that's for sure. How you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Having a cigar by Lake Superior here. Coming to you on Echo Link. So I hope my signal's not too bad. But it's been reported it sounds okay. So I'll take it.
Well, Ken, he got a good signal. It's full signal coming all the way here to Rochester Hill. And today it was so bad, foggy and raining, and it's still raining.
Well, I'm down by the lake, so I have a big bluff, and I have to come down the hill on a snowmobile. There's about 3 feet of snow, little 3.5 feet maybe of snow on the ground, and yeah, it's above freezing today. It's like 35 here. So a little bit warm, but it's good. It's nice. Perfect afternoon for a little cigar by the lake here.
That's good to hear you from all the way there. And that's my first time hearing you from all the way there. But enjoy that cigar, really. I would enjoy 2 cigars instead of one. Ha!
Well, truth be told, I'm on my second cigar, actually, but it's getting down to the nub here, so I am going to have to go up the hill in a little bit, but I do need to eat. I'm getting kind of hungry.
Let me tell you something. I was about 5 years ago, we were up there, and we always get hungry up that way. We were the other side of the bridge, by Bridgestone or something like that over there, and we always got hungry. You know, we just walking not even a mile or something like that. Not even a mile, really, we get hungry. Anyhow, okay, and I'm going to let you go. You take care. And good to hear you out there. And I know you're coming back home. So take it easy when you come back home. I hope there ain't going to be no snow out that way. Take care. KFA-ERC.
All right, Detroit Rock City. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Have a good night, Jack. KFA-AYO.
Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Currently connected to CMN Network.
I cannot hear your call sign. I'm going to hear K-A-H-A-G-A-L or something along those lines.
Kilo Juliet Officer.
I'm sorry, my... Another one, and I think this one is broken. Something, God forbid. But this is K-E-A-F-L-Y. Let me go. Okay, so I heard, Kilo something. I can't. Okay, can you hear me now? I just grabbed my UV. I grabbed one. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you're fading in and out there, guy. This is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. KCK Joe on the Flint Tower, Central Michigan.
Okay, was that Kilo Juliet, Kilo Juliet Oscar?
Kilo Charlie 8. Kilo Juliet Oscar, KC8KJO. Name is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike. Are you over there on the Durant Tower, I take it?
No, I'm in Shelby Township using my 5-watt since my other one pretty much cooked.
Oh, you're in Shelby. Are you on the UMP, on the Mount Clemens, Tower, are you on the Warren Tower? You said your call was KFAFLY? out there. All right, let's try that again. KCKGO to the calling station in Shelby Township.
My radio's dying and my power's going low. My radio's dying. I gotta go. KEAFLY 7-3, I'll be coming on your final.
All right, sounds good. I'll be out here monitoring. KCKGO. KCKGO monitoring.
Connected to CMN Network.
Something JFCO. This is KEAFLY. KEAFLY monitoring.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Okay, you got your battery charged, but you're in a really bad area. You want to try a different tower? Which one do you want? You want the 65?
Am I sounding any better now?
Yeah, I know you're still a little staticky, but I got you in there. This is Tango Oscar Mike, Tom, T-O-M. Call sign Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. KCKJO.
Yeah, this is KCKJO. How's it going for you?
Yeah, you sound a little bit muffled there, but I got you in there. Say your call sign slowly. I get KFA Kilo Fox Chart 8, but I can't get the rest of it.
Kilo Echo 8 Foxtrot Lima Yankee KEAFLY.
Oh, Kilo Echo 8 Foxtrot Lima Yankee FLY. Okay. What's your name again?
My name.
Yeah, you dropped out on that one. Press and hold the button, wait a couple seconds, try again. That way it gives the repeater time to warm up on you. KCKJO.
This is KCKJO, and my name is
NHWRO, NHWRO, KCKJO. Tim, you out there? You make it in and then you drop out. So let's try that and see how that goes.
Just see the whole while. I gotta run to the bathroom. I'll be right back. I gotta go to the bathroom for a second.
Copy that. I'll be here for about another 20 minutes.
I'm back. Can you hear me okay? KEAFLY, I'm back. Can you hear me okay?
go. Now I can hear you. KEHFLY, correct? Foxtrot Lima Yankee.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, see, and then you drop out again. Are you on a Baofeng, like a UV-5, I take it, or you get a DM-32 or a DM-1701, or what do you use in turn HD?
I have a UV-32, but my battery's dead, and it takes forever to charge, so I'm using my UV-5R currently.
Okay, wherever you're standing, you are great coming into the tower, into the repeater. You're clean, and you're crisp. You don't sound muffled. So, let's go and get your name on there. Right? My name is Tom, Tango Oscar Mike. Call sign is Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar. KJO, and an easy way to remember is KC as in Kansas City, 8 as in EDD, and then KJO is Cujo, KCA Cujo.
My name is Sean. I've been on the air for a few years now, and I love the hobby.
Okay, I got Sean, and that's Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee, correct?
Indeed, that is correct.
Alright, one thing you want to do is you want to talk across the mic, not into the mic. You want to bring your audio up a little bit as you fade out there. Don't be afraid to talk into the radio, but you're sounding good now that you're in one spot. Go ahead.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, sorry about that. I just like to walk around my room a bit. Sorry about that. Anywho, yeah, I've been on the air for a few years. I love the hobby, but I'm stuck with a 5-watt radio.
Yeah, for 5-watt, you're not doing too bad. What repeater are you coming in on?
Full disclosure, I'm going to be honest, I have no clue.
Okay, try again. You said full disclosure, so you don't know which one you're on. What's your frequency?
443. Sorry, I just double-keyed by accident. Anyway, I'm on 443.625.
Okay, 443.65. Okay, that is the Mount Clemens repeater for Central Michigan Network. That's linked to three repeaters from the FBI network, which are Richmond, Warren, and Romeo. And then there's, of course, several other ones with Central Michigan that are all interconnected throughout the state. Cool. All right. You said your name is Sean, right? Sierra Echo Alpha November?
Yes, that is correct. Well, AWS Alpha. I forgot W in the phonetic alphabet. My bad. Alpha Whiskey November. My bad. I forgot W in the phonetic alphabet for a moment.
Hey, whatever works. We want to say Sand, Helicopter, Alabama, Wisconsin, Noriega or something like that. That's fine. Whatever phonetic output is good for you. I mean, not everybody has to be military or law enforcement. So whatever is easier for you, that's all that matters. Once you get more practice in, you'll be like the rest of us that are out here, but you'll still be learning. But, Sean, I'll be right back. I got to make a phone call and clear this job that I'm on. So I'll be back in a second. KC, KJ.
W, C,
E, F, O, R, Sandy, Bug. F, A, C, D, I, C.
You're good, you're calling, 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 you're calling,
is that call sign?
This is KEHFLY and my radio.
I don't know, you faded out a little bit. This is KFACIC. You faded out a little bit, and if you're on a handheld, do a favor, hold your handheld straight up in the air, and you should be doing a good job out there. Roger.
My radio is dying right now. I have to go 7-3 to find another battery.
Hey, no problem. Take care. Have a good evening. KF8DIC.
WD8KLL.
Connected to CMN Network.
What was your call again?
This is FU calling all FFs.
Yeah, he was doing it over on 7-8 and then 3-8. Now he came over to UHF. You know, calling all cars, dumbass.
Car 54, where are you?
I think it's a radio that I can touch numbers in and I can do it whatever I want to.
Big belly, touch me.
You can't touch me there. You're not a priest.
Oh, man, I'm tired.
Did you get the stink off you yet?
No. It's not that bad. Every once in a while, faint whiff. I hate the supplied sundries. I always bring my own. I forgot. My cat puked all over my duffel, and I threw it away. Cause I just got to it. Couldn't clean it the way it hit. So I bought a new one, and when I emptied the other one she puked on, I must have put the my travel stuff. I'll find it. Just didn't find it in time for this trip. Oh well. I usually bring the stuff I like.
Yeah, Michelle usually keeps it in a suit. She's always got a suitcase ready to go with all the bathroom stuff, our little minis of our soaps and those types of things, so I can grab it and go kind of deal.
Yep. Yep, that's what I got, but like I said, I just didn't find it and didn't think it was going to matter, and then when I got there, I said, I'll just use the stuff in the hotel. And then for the last couple of days, I remembered why I never do that. All right, anyhow, back to some more of the guy walking around farting in public. That's a new thing instead of cat videos. And then off to bed. Catch you later. WFU.
Yeah, I hear Michelle backing in the driveway. I think, yeah, that's her. We gotta get up in the morning and take her dad for his eye surgery. It's 6 a.m., so we gotta be up at 5 a.m. or whatever it is. So, yeehaw. All right.